Good morning, everybody. I'm going to ask you to mute yourself if you're coming in and you are not one of the co-hosts. Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland's Zoom training, zooming into Zoom. We are happy that you're here. Our hope is to try to give you some information and some tools and tricks that are going to help you as you participate in the convention in a couple of weeks and some of the prep organizations. I do hear a lot.
Another Wing Capital One is watching out for your mind.
A lot of background noise.
Pat Dormley from Frostburg, and I'm going to mute myself again.
Damn it.
Hanzo, you're wrong.
Just a real quick question. How long is this session going to last, sir, and is it going to be held again? 8,000.
Ronza, you are muted, just in case.
You all muted me. Interesting. Okay.
I don't know who did it. It wasn't me, I swear.
All right. So one of you needs to decide who's in charge of muting and unmuting, because you're all muting. One person's muting and one person's unmuting everybody.
Chris, are you muting by chance? Or Derek, one of you two? Because I did not, and Ronza did not.
We cannot mute. No one can mute Ronza besides Ronza, because she is the highest level of authority. Like, we can't mute anyone above us in rank.
Okay. Not true on a corporate pro account.
Okay.
Oh, then never mind. Maybe that
isn't okay. Everywhere.
Fair enough. All right, that's fine. Right. I agree, and I was going to say the same thing. We just need to have one person do it. So, Chris, if you're the one, or Derek, whoever's doing it, can we just keep one person doing it?
Yeah, it wasn't me, but okay.
It must have been Chris.
Now, when you
all right, Chris, you all are right. Assigned muting and co-muting duties, yes. Unmuting duties. That's it. All right, back to where we were. Apologies, guys. We're got a lot of folks here coming in and out, and it's causing a lot of background noise. So we're learning some things as we're providing this training. Welcome once again for the fourth time, Pat Gormley. Please mute yourself. Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland's training on Zoom. We are hoping to be able to share some information and some tricks that are going to help you regardless of what platform you are going to be using, and this will be useful for the rookie roundup, for those of you that are participating in the Maryland first timers training orientation, and for those of you who all of you hopefully who will participate in the national convention. There are aspects to Zoom that you can also use in different parts of your life that may not necessarily be part of the national convention. We are very pleased to have our Greater Carroll County chapter facilitating this training. This is truly one of those times where the youth and the adults. So we have Derek Day, who is part of our student division and one of our kids that we've known since he was a baby. Chris Nussbaum, who is part of our student division and a college student. We have Justin, who's our audio engineer. And we have the president of our Carroll County chapter, Brian Kessling, who, though he's not as young as the others, as the other kids, he is definitely young at heart. And all four of them will do a phenomenal job teaching us what we don't know. So without further ado, take it away.
All right. Well, thank you, Ronza. And just FYI, we don't want to leave out Mr. Gary LeGates as well, one of our local teachers here in
Carroll County,
newly retired. Thank you, Ronza. So my name is Brian Kessling. I am the president, as Ronza has said, of the Greater Carroll County Chapter, and I'd like to welcome you all to our Zoom workshop. I'm just going to go over a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to kind of let our panelists introduce themselves and kind of break down what it is that we're going to do. So we got into this this kind of a workshop simply because, like many of you, or pretty much like all of you, rather, we found ourselves kind of looking around, trying to figure out what to do in the state of current affairs regarding the COVID-19 situation. And like many of you, we decided kind of through necessity that we had to start taking our meetings and things online. And we quickly found out, as I'm sure, again, many of you are aware, that the Zoom platform is not only very accessible, but is also extremely versatile depending on the specific needs that you have. So as we started getting into some of the chapter meetings, one of the questions that popped up was, what type of virtual workshops could we as a chapter put out for our members and possibly expand it, as is obvious now, and be able to help folks educate kind of some of the different aspects of being blind and kind of continue the work that the National Federation of the Blind does on a day-to-day basis. So I guess without real surprise, one of the first suggestions was, why don't we look into teaching everybody how to use the Zoom platform in different manners to get better acquainted with it. And then of course, with the national convention going online this year, an opportunity arose to kind of further expand upon that. So our workshop that we are going to put on for you today is more or less an entry level, kind of to get acclimated with the Zoom platform. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide it into three basic sections. So the first section is basically revolving around Zoom etiquette, which is how one participates in Zoom, how they can contribute to the productivity of a given meeting, that kind of thing, and also environmental setup. The second part of it that we are going to talk about is the actual user interface, which is interfacing with different devices, iPhones, tablet computers, laptops, desktops, what have you. And then the third section is going to revolve around hosting. And I know many of you are probably going to say, well, you know, I don't know that I'm ever going to host. But what I think you're going to find as you listen to some of this stuff is that the platform has a great level of versatility. And what I have found in just my experiences is that a large number of people are using it for any manner of things. And the out-of-the-box thinking just continues to astound me. So we've seen things from family gatherings to virtual picnics to virtual graduation parties. I've seen where a group of students were doing a prom through the Zoom platform. So there's a lot of things that you can really do with it. So we hope that you get some good things out of this. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our panel. And I'm going to start with Dustin Garland. If you can just give us, you know, an introduction, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and the specific section that you're going to cover.
All right. Thank you, Brian. My name is Dustin Garland, and I have a bachelor's degree in general studies, but my area of study actually in college was audio engineering. I've been a musician for 27 years. I've done a lot of work in professional sound over that 27 years. And when I first got into the whole Zoom thing, the reason that got me into this workshop, even though I'm, you know, I'm a passive member of several organizations, but what got me into this workshop was that I noticed that there were some problems with the audio that was going on with the virtual meetings and the environments that they were being held in. And it made it very difficult as a blind person or a sighted person to understand a lot of what was going on. So that's how I got started in this the workshop. So one of the things that I'm going to be discussing is your environment, some basic do's and don'ts for you, and, you know, also just some basic considerations for dealing with an online meeting, some things you need to watch out for, some things that can kind of happen to you, or contributions you can make as you go through the meeting. So I'm going to pass this along to
Chris,
panelist Chris, and we will and we'll continue from there. And I'm hoping this will be informative to a lot of you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Dustin and Brian. My name is Chris Nussbaum. I am a member of the Greater Carroll County chapter and have been since the very beginning. I was one of the organizers and was the charter vice president of the organization. Now I'm a rank and file member. I'm also a college student who has brought school home, as we all have. And that leads to, in part, what I'm going to be talking about. I have had a lot of experience with Zoom, using it for everything from family gatherings to meetings of other organizations to internet radio and, of course, Federation meetings and events. In fact, I tend to be everybody's Zoom guinea pig for new users, especially at my college. And so I have a lot of experience doing a lot of different things on Zoom and getting creative with this really versatile platform. So I will be talking with the help of Derek and Brian about the many ways to join and participate in Zoom meetings on all of your devices.
Derek.
Hello, my name is Derek Day, and I've been dubbed our chapter minion. I'm a member of the Carroll County chapter as well. My mom's the treasurer, and I'm just their minion, I guess. And that kind of fits what I'm doing today. I mean, my main job is to be with Chris and Brian on their little spiel about joining and participating in a meeting. But if anyone needs any, you know, assistance or whatever, I'm just here to kind of help everyone and make sure it runs smoothly. So that's my job.
How about Mr. LeGates?
Can everybody hear me? Yes?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Gary LeGates. I'm a retired foreign language teacher here in Westminster. And when this COVID hit, I was teaching some part-time students at a homeschool co-op. And I realized if I was going to finish my class, I had to learn to do Zoom. So I did, and I taught my students. I had two classes I was teaching, so I taught them the rest of the year. I also teach an adult Sunday school class, so I hosted that on Zoom. I also hosted a prayer meeting for someone on Zoom. So I host quite a few meetings on Zoom, so my topic is hosting a meeting, and I think you'll find that more useful than you might think, as Brian said. So I'll be back a little later to talk about that.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate everybody's participation in this workshop this morning. So we're going to get started with the first part of this workshop, which is the Zoom ethics and environmental setup section. And just real quick, I kind of just want to make the point before Dustin gets into it, and I'm sure he'll beat this point home to no end. But one of the big things that often gets overlooked when folks participate in Zoom calls is the Zoom ethics aspect of the participation. And one of the reasons why that is so important is because just as much as being able to use the Zoom platform, you know, makes you a good participant in a given conference, so too is knowing when to and how to participate in regards to the ethics portion of it. So knowing when to mute, knowing when to raise your hand, knowing how to submit questions, knowing how to, to communicate verbally in an environment where, for all intents and purposes, we are kind of in a cul-de-sac together. So I really think that this particular portion of the workshop is extremely important, and I hope that you guys can get something tangible out of it. So Dustin, without further ado, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Brian. So the first thing I'm going to discuss is the ethics of being in a meeting. So when you're in a Zoom meeting, you have to remember two things. Number one, anything that you transmit through your computer, everybody's going to hear at almost maximum volume, okay? Because the microphone in your computer is going to pick this signal up. It's going to send it out. And for example, if you have your computer speakers turned all the way up, your computer speakers are going to broadcast it back and your microphone is going to pick it up a second time. So it's going to be an incessant loop. We just had an example of this right before we got started and resulted in a mass audio mute. So I'm going to tell everybody this. This is the first thing I say when it comes to Zoom ethics and etiquette and things of that nature. If you are not speaking, please mute yourself. There is a setting when you first join a meeting that tells you that if you wish to mute your audio upon entering a meeting, okay, that is one of the critical things you need to tell it, because that way, if you are still doing something else, like you've got an email open or you've got something else open, your speech is not being broadcast to the rest of the world. Okay. When you are in a Zoom meeting, it's not like being in a room where you can just turn your speech down. Okay. You need to actually mute your microphone so that your audio from your computer, unless you're using your microphone, you want your audio to say only your audio. The rest of the meeting does not need to know that you just received an email from another department or another coworker regarding an unrelated activity. And that goes for blind or sighted people. I often caution sighted people too that, you know, placing your phones and eye watches and things on Do Not Disturb and muting any extraneous noises that you can mute will help minimize the background noise. And to this point, the more people that enter a meeting, the worse this gets. When I first started using Zoom, when I used to see meetings that would say it's going to be a Zoom meeting, I would cringe because nobody knows how to mute. So in this instance, remember this, less is more, okay? So the less signal you interject into the meeting, unless you have something to say, the better. And this goes for also hearing what other people are doing around you, okay? And what I mean by that is your speech versus your meeting. If you have a situation where you're using VoiceOver or JAWS or NVDA or the Android TalkBack or any of them, if you're in the window, it tells you everything that's going on in that window. Well, sometimes you can miss what is going on in the meeting because your speech is screaming in your ear. So what I tend to do when I go into a Zoom meeting, I actually take myself out of the window, and if I'm really in a pickle with it, I will actually turn my screen reader off just so I can pay attention to what's going on around me in my meeting. So less is more. One of the things you need to realize too is the more signals we send back and forth in a meeting, the harder it is for our computers and devices to deal with the signal load. So eventually, the bigger the meeting gets, the more problems you have with the system just getting overloaded. So anything as a participant, anything you can do to lessen your traffic in and out of the meeting, i.e. video, turning off your video. If you don't need it, turn it off. Muting your audio, if you don't need it, turn it off. It lessens the chance of a what we call a feedback loop. We'll move on to background noise now. In the background right now, I have my significant other, who is about 3 feet from me. She is typing on a computer. You can probably hear that. There are also a couple of fans in the background, but for the most part, the room is fairly quiet. And so that's going to bring me to another point that I'm going to make. Consider the environment where you're joining a meeting, okay? If you have pets, which I do, you're in this house, we have two cats, a rabbit, and a chihuahua, but if you notice, you can't hear them because they're small animals and they're quiet. But if they were noisy pets, I would hunt for a place, if I knew I was going into a meeting, where I could have limited background noise. Now, if you're in a normal room, you would just close the door. Well, that doesn't work here. So Zoom has put in some things that allow you to lessen the level of background noise that you hear from your environment being transmitted to the rest of the world, meaning they can cancel out some of the tapping of a computer keyboard. They can cancel out some of the echo from the room. And all these settings, I've played with them a little bit, and the best advice I tell everybody is leave it on auto. Let it do the work for you. Now, normally as an audio engineer, I don't like leaving things on auto. But in this instance, for simplistic purposes, I tell, because I'm using a Mac, I tell my Mac, mute my audio when I join the meeting, and that'll work for JAWS or any of the other platforms. I tell it mute my audio when I join the meeting. I tell it turn off my video when I join the meeting, because if in this instance I'm in a room with a bunch of people who are blind or visually impaired, my camera is not going to do a lot of us a whole bunch of good. And there also may be a situation where I may not want my background transmitted. I may be, indisposed, but I still need to be there. So for my privacy, I turn the video off unless I need it. So I leave the environment echolocation on auto. And I'm hearing some audio there, but... I don't know whose that is, but that's okay. But one of the things that we need to think about is that there is...
Yeah, but we needed... Everybody wanted to see each other, so that's why I did it.
Okay. There is a video... There's some videos that's going on. One of the things I do is I video some podcasts and things. And I notice that a lot of people who are doing Zoom meetings and things, they don't really think about the environment variables. So one of the things we need to do is remember that there are environmental variables that happen in your environment that can influence your meeting. So it's a lot of times a good idea to think about what things can also enter your environment and exit your environment throughout the meeting. It's not like being in a room where somebody can just step in quietly and leave. In a Zoom meeting, we have all these chimes and things, and anytime anything goes off, Zoom feels the need to alert us to this, which can sometimes be a distraction. So a lot of times, I'll find these chimes and things and I'll disable them because I want less load. The less stimuli I have in the situation, the better. If you think about it like this, a Zoom meeting is like, when it gets crowded, it's like a big giant shopping mall. And eventually what happens is it becomes like a television where somebody turns it on the old channel 3 and you get nothing but static. The younger members of our generation, the DTVs, they don't do that to us. But those of us from analog days will remember this. Whenever you used to turn on television, channel 3, we'd get static. And so that's why I say, you know, less is more. As far as etiquette is concerned, if you have a question or things like that, there are buttons that say raise hand and things. Sometimes it's better to use those buttons and type your question than it is to just ask it, because it makes it a little more subtle. There's a lot of times if I'm in a room with a bunch of sighted people, I do not want them to hear my computer. There are situations in a job where I do not want them to know that I have a visual impairment. I'm not ashamed of it, but I don't want them to know about it, because then it just brings attention to it. There are situations where I don't want that. So I try to be as inconspicuous as possible by muting my speech and muting my audible clues unless I need them. Using a headset mic is a way to lower your environmental variables. I do not have one in currently at the moment because my environment has dictated that I don't need one. But if I was in a room that had a bunch of echo or where I had other pets or televisions or things like that, I would use a headset mic. And the best ones I have found are the ones that usually are the wired version, because they do not create wireless conflicts and connectivity problems. It's simply pull it out of the case, plug it into the correct ports on your device, and join the meeting. And there's no special things to do to it, for the most part. I use the Apple earbuds because on my computer, it works. It's just one cable. I put it in my ears, I plug it into the port, and I'm done. So, that's pretty much what I have to say about that. As far as what kind of room you're going to use, rooms that have carpet are good. Rooms that have wall covering treatments like curtains or things like that, they're good rooms to use because they don't cause a lot of echo. Bad rooms to use. We do not join Zoom meetings in our Starbucks. We do not join Zoom meetings while we're standing on the corner of a bus stop. I remember the first Zoom meeting I had. I had a situation where we had a lady call in, and she was on her phone. She was a call-in, and there were nothing but fire trucks and sirens going by, which basically create, and I don't know much about these, but it created what I would effectively call a Zoom bomb. And a couple of my panelists will explain what that is, but basically it's where the entire meeting was inundated with audio and you couldn't understand what was going on around you. So that was a problem. So I try to pick the quietest environment possible. So my takeaway on all this, and then I'll throw this to Q&A. Less is more. So if you don't need it, turn it off. If you need to speak, raise your hand and wait for a host to call on you. It'll make your it will make your load on the meeting less. And if you can at all possible, pick your quietest environment. And if you don't have a quiet environment, use a headset mic. So with that, I'll turn it over to Q&A, and if anybody has any questions as far as anything I've said so far, please feel free to ask, and I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you.
Okay, so the first person who has a question is Mark.
Mark? Yep.
So let's, Mark, your hand is raised. I can unmute you. I'm going to get back there. I apologize.
Okay, very good. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mark. I'm from Maine. I'm the treasurer of the NFB of Maine. My question, Justin, is when you want to eliminate the JAWS, where the speech where it says so-and-so has joined the meeting, so-and-so has left the meeting, that can drive you a little bit nuts. What's the best way to do that? I have a desktop. It's not a Macintosh, but it is a Windows computer. Thank you.
Okay. As far as JAWS is concerned, There is an option in JAWS to mute its speech. I'm not a very proficient JAWS user with the new one, but yes, there is an option in there to mute your speech.
Chris, Dustin, I can tell you what it is. Hit the insert space and then hit S, and it'll put it on what's called, it gives it a name, but it will speak a little, but it will not do all that. Every time that someone comes in a meeting or leaves a meeting, you won't hear it.
It's called speech on demand.
Speech on demand. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Okay, so insert space.
S. Yeah. Okay. Like you hear that little noise, and then you push your S. Yeah. And it'll cut your. And it'll say speech on demand, and then do the same thing when you want your speech back.
Okay.
Or we should say JAWS key plus space, because those who have a laptop set up.
Okay.
Will say mine's caps lock.
I use the insert. I have a laptop, but I have an insert key. So.
Yeah. Well, I am.
Okay.
Usually.
So I want to ask
thank you.
Since you've got a bunch of other panelists, do you want to take questions now? Thank you, Mark. Do you want to keep taking questions
for
now?
This particular section, yes. Yes, okay. For this particular section. Yeah, that was the idea.
All right, Brittany has a question.
Okay, my name is Brittany Bram, and I'm from, I'm a secretary of the NFB of California Bakersfield chapter. Mm-hmm. And have you upgraded your Zoom account?
Okay. So I guess I can take this one. So are you primarily using a computer, a tablet, a little bit of everything? Like, what is your primary device that you're utilizing?
iPad.
Okay. So essentially within the app, there's actually the ability to go, and I think it still shoots you to the web client if I remember correctly. But basically, if you go to their website or you use the client there, or the application, excuse me, there is the option under there, because everybody gets a base account for free, as you probably are aware. And that free account allows you to have up to a 40-minute conference with more than one other person. If it's just one other person, it allows you to utilize it almost to your heart's content. But if you're looking to upgrade for a pro or a business or something of that nature, it's pretty straightforward, actually. Basically, all you do is go to either the Zoom website, or you can access it, as I said, through the application. And then it has the list of the different tiers and the pricing structure that's involved with them and the various features that come with each tier. And you just simply follow the steps through, and then it'll take you to a payment page where you have to put in your pertinent information, that kind of stuff. And it's, like I said, it's very straightforward. And even on your iPad, what you can do is you can actually ask Siri to look up the purchase of a Zoom account, and it should pop up, if I remember correctly, as one of the top searches on the Google, and you should be able to jump right into it.
So. All right. Thank you, Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Any other? We don't have any other hands raised.
Ronza, Tyron's hand raised. So I just unmuted him.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tyron. He had it up and then it was down. Go ahead, Ty.
I had a question about the speech on demand thing. Is there a way to turn that on and off through the app if you're using the phone?
I'll take this. So what I do here is I have just a shortcut on my phone that I just press I still have one that's got a home button. I get into my meeting, and if I want my speech to go away, I just, you can, what is it? 3-finger double tap on the screen turns your speech off.
Correct.
Leaves your voice on, but turns your speech off. And I use that because I do have a brow sense. So I use that in a situation where I want my brow display to read things to me, but I do not want my speech to talk while I'm listening to the meeting. But the other way I do it is if I'm walking around or I'm doing something where I need to, I want to be in the meeting, I want to hear the meeting, but I don't want my speech, I will just press my home button 3 times. And I use that shortcut no matter what I'm doing. I've got an Apple Watch I just got, and I have found that my Apple Watch even sometimes talks at random, and I sometimes I don't want it to. So a lot of times I will mute my speech, or I will disable speech until I need it. So that's what I do there. I either use the shortcut to turn off my speech completely, or I will three-finger double tap on the screen will mute my speech, and then three-finger double tap again will put my speech back on.
Okay.
To respond to somebody else's question about turning off your notifications, your application notifications directly from Zoom, if you're using the iPhone, the iOS app, or the app, it's in your, if you go to down at the bottom, more.
Yes.
And then it's pretty intuitive from there. So that is another way if you're not actually on a desktop client.
Yes. Awesome.
Those of you on the phone don't have to worry about that. And then Jan Bailey.
Yes.
You're okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I wondered if everyone knew that right now when you have the free account, if you have more than two people on your call at 40 minutes, a thing, it doesn't speak it, but I'm told it comes up and says right now you can, your meeting is unlimited. So if you were thinking about buying a pro account or because you wanted more right now because of COVID-19, you don't have to do that.
Oh, awesome. Okay. No, I was not aware of that, actually. That's great.
That is good.
There are still limitations, though, of the free account, like participation limits, and I think there's a limit on recording to the cloud. If it lets you do it at all, it's a very small amount that you can record to the cloud. So there are still perks to upgrading, but it's not a necessity as it was back, I don't know, before the COVID-19 thing.
Right. So in other words, all they removed was the time parameter. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Awesome. Everybody's got to
stay connected, I guess.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
As Judy Nelson, I see you're unmuted. Did you have a question? Okay. I guess not. All right. So, with that, if you want to move on to the next portion.
Yes, I can. And just as a little kind of tail to this, if there are questions that people do think of as we move along, once we get into the different Q&A segments, we can always step back if there's something that somebody else thinks of. So no worries if you didn't get through or you didn't think of a question at this particular point. So good stuff. All right, so we are gonna move on to the next section, which is the more practical application, which is the user interface and utilizing Zoom physically through the devices and how it all ties in with the accessibility softwares and things like that. And for that particular segment, I'd like to reintroduce my friend and colleague, Mr. Chris Nussbaum.
Hello.
Take two, Chris. Hello. Nussbaum. Hey.
I think they unmuted from Chris.
No, Chris accidentally unmuted everybody.
Oh. Well, we'll have to accidentally mute everybody again.
All right. Can you hear me now? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out. Before I go any further, I want to ask a question of my fellow panelists, just because this should be taken care of. Is there a way to mute everybody except for the co-hosts? Because I thought there was, and I, by mistake, when I tried to do that, thinking that I was going to mute the co-host or mute everybody except for the co-hosts, I ended up muting Ronza too.
I believe there is an option contained within the customization settings of the web client. However, it has to be set up beforehand, and I do not believe, if it's not showing up, I don't see anything as I'm looking, so
that
I don't believe it's...
That only shows if we're marked as panelists, not as co-hosts, so that...
Okay.
But like Mr. Bryan said, that would have had to be set up beforehand.
Okay. Correct. Well, then, just because we don't have that functionality, just a reminder to everybody to please mute yourselves right now. If you're on Windows, press Alt-A. If you're on the phone, press *6. And if you're on any of the phone apps, just find that mute button, double tap on it, and you'll be muted. But that way we can eliminate any and all background noise that might be interfering with anything else. So one of my favorite things about Zoom is how versatile it is and how various it is. And by that I mean that you can join a Zoom meeting and participate in it on pretty much any device you own, whether it runs Windows, Mac OS, iOS, Android, or if it runs neither of those and you're just calling in on the phone, which I know a few people here are doing. So somebody invites you to a Zoom meeting, doesn't matter how techie, how tech savvy or non-tech savvy you are able to join and participate in a Zoom meeting. So my purpose here is to demonstrate for you how to get into a Zoom meeting on all of your devices. There's a limit to my knowledge. I don't know anything about Android, and I don't know anything about Mac. Dustin touched on Mac OS, but unfortunately, I don't think we have any Android users here. So if anybody can speak to that, you're welcome to do so in the Q&A period. But what I'm going to demonstrate here with the help of Derek and Brian is how to get into a Zoom meeting on Windows in the iPhone app and using the one-tap mobile button, which would be calling in on your phone as if you were making a phone call, because that's what you're doing. So since I can't exactly demonstrate the Windows part live, yesterday Derek and I got together, and after a few technical mishaps, we recorded ourselves doing that demonstration with a test Zoom meeting. So the first thing I want to do is play that for you. So I'm going to share my screen, and in case you want to do this, I'll walk you through it. You hit Alt-S, and then I'm going to sorry about this. Okay, share my entire, and then I'm going to click on the checkbox that says share computer sound. I'm going to check that, and I'm going to click on share screen. And can somebody let me know if they were able to hear Jaws just then?
I got it.
Okay, very good. All right, so here is a little audio demonstration of how to join a meeting using Windows with a screen reader. Hi, everybody. To begin this segment of our training about the many ways in which you can join a Zoom meeting, I wanted to play for you a recorded demonstration of how to join a Zoom meeting on a Windows PC. I would have done this demonstration live as we're doing the rest of our demonstrations, but as we learned the last time we tried to do that, that wasn't a really accurate demonstration, because when you're in a meeting, the main screen of Zoom, otherwise known as the home screen, looks different than if you're not in a meeting. So the only way that we could think of getting around that problem was to record this part of the demonstration. But be assured that I'm still live on Zoom with all of you and with the rest of the panel, so I will be here, as will all of us, to answer your questions when that time comes. So for this demo, I'm using JAWS 2020, the latest version of the JAWS screen reader, on a laptop running Windows 10 and the latest update to Zoom, whatever that version number is. So let me show you first, by far, the easiest way to get into a Zoom meeting on pretty much any device, and that is to use the direct link provided in an invitation email. So I'm going to alt tab here.
Inbox does bomb for gmail.com outlook list box group I expanded date today Derek Day Zoom planning meeting 2/30/17.
So I have my email open, and the first thing that came up, the latest email I have, is an email from Derek Day inviting me to a Zoom meeting. So the first thing I'm going to do is open this.
Enter. Zoom planning meeting message HTML 2 links from Derek Day.
And I want to show you what the invitation looks like, because a lot of people have pointed out correctly that these invitation emails can be a little confusing when you've never seen them before, because they have so much information and you're not sure which piece of information to use or what some of them even mean. So I'm going to go to the top of this email.
NFPCC is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting.
And just let JAWS read through this invitation, and I'll provide a little commentary. So the first thing it says is NFBCC is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting, NFBCC being the chapter's Zoom account, National Federation of the Blind, Carroll County. So NFBCC is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting.
When? Topic, Zoom workshop planning.
Topic.
Time, June 26, 2020, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. and Canada.
That's when it's scheduled.
Link. Join Zoom meeting.
Now, this is going to be the most important
part. Okay, I'm told people
join
can't
Zoom
hear
meeting.
What Chris is saying.
https://4.86.322,352, pwd=zfnku3fzl2zpsmmed3jsdhrhqt09.
And that's one gigantically long URL that thankfully we don't have to remember, but we'll use that. So there's our meeting ID and the password. So that's how you can get into a meeting. And if you need to get in to it manually...
Is everyone having an okay time hearing? Because I heard Miss Ronza say that people were having issues hearing, and then Chris's jaws went crazy. So,
okay.
is everyone okay with hearing the audio of the video? Because I can hear it fine, but I
yeah, we can hear it.
Okay.
I can hear
thank
you.
You
would use that information, although, as long as you have that link, you don't have to do that. So we're gonna keep going.
+13017158592408682235 number 0 number 0212 number U.S. Germantown.
So there's a number here for OneTap Mobile for the closest location offered by Zoom to Derek, who set up this Zoom meeting. So of course that would be Germantown, Maryland. And then there's an alternative number.
+13126266799408682235 number 0 number 0212 number U.S. Chicago.
So those are our OneTap Mobile numbers, which we'll talk about as we go into the phone demonstrations immediately after this.
Link. Dial by your location.
So here's dial by your location, and this is the most confusing part to a lot of new Zoom users. Because you're going to see a bunch of stuff like this.
+1300 1700 1585 92 U.S. Germantown. +1 900 29 200 5 60 99 U.S. New York. +1 312 626 67 99 U.S. Chicago. +1 669 968 33 U.S. San Jose. +1 253 215 8782 U.S. Tacoma. +1 346 248 7799 U.S. Houston. Meeting ID 408 682 2352.
So what are all those numbers? Well, for the vast majority of people, those numbers don't matter. Because they're only really used if you're calling from a landline and you're dialing into that Zoom meeting. And even then, there really don't have to be that many numbers, because long distance isn't as much of a thing now as it used to be. So I wish there was a way in Zoom where you could choose whether or not to include all those numbers in the invitation. But as it is, that setting doesn't exist, so we have all those numbers. For the vast majority of users, we can ignore that. And then finally,
password 021222.
The password.
Find your local number. Link https://02web.zoom/kdtgbdwt1f.
If somehow none of those numbers we just read are in your area, you can find your local number by visiting that website. And that's it for the invitation. So here's the important part. Let's go back up to the top.
NFBCC is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Blank. Topic: Zoom workshop planning. Time: June 26, 2020, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. and Canada. Blank. Join Zoom meeting.
And here's that all-important link. By the way, the keystroke I use to go back to the top of that email, which is a very standard command, is Control Home. So join Zoom meeting.
Link https://02web.zoom/link.
That's where we're going to use that. And that's going to take us directly into the Zoom meeting like this.
https://0
So I'm going to hit enter.
Derek Gabriel, get outlook.com button to activate, press spacebar.
Oh, whoops. Outlook's doing weird things. Hold on.
Subject edit, type of text. Left header button. Message. Meeting ID, blank. https://02web.zoom/j/4/86 enter. Untitled Google Chrome.
Here we go.
Alert, https://02web.zoom.us to open this application. Open Zoom meetings, open Zoom meetings, dialog, cancel button to activate, press spacebar.
Okay, so here's what just happened. Google Chrome is my default browser, but whatever is your default browser, that's what it'll open in. And what that gave me was a notification saying that this page that we just opened wants to open itself in another program installed on my computer, which is called Zoom Meetings. So I know in Chrome it'll show up like Jaws just read it, and I've done it in Firefox too, and it's pretty much the same principle, although I believe in Firefox it reads a little differently, but you still have that dialogue. And for this, in this case, we want to, for some reason, Jaws focuses on the cancel button, so we actually want to shift tab.
Open Zoom meeting button to activate, press spacebar.
Open Zoom meetings. You can hit either space or enter on that.
Enter. Launch meeting Zoom Google Chrome. Link support. Join with video button.
Okay, so now we have two things open. We still have that page open that we really don't need anymore once we join the meeting. But Chrome is still open with a page to get into the meeting. And that would show up if you don't have Zoom installed on your computer and you want to install it through, if you want to join the meeting through your browser. But in this case, Zoom is installed on my computer, so that's how I'm going to do it. So now we have two options. There's join with video and join without video. Well, I don't really need video for this, so I'm going to tab.
Join without video button.
To join without video, and I'm going to hit enter on that.
Enter. Zoom. Zoom, you are using the computer audio. Zoom meeting.
And now it's going to tell us that
the meeting hosted by NFBCC with two participants. Your audio is unmuted. Your video is off.
And now it's going to tell us that we're in the meeting and Derek's with us. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Okay, so you can hear everything okay, right?
I can hear you crystal clear. You sound great.
Cool. That's why I used the good mic for this. So now we are in that meeting, and we can, as we just did, we can just talk as normal. So there are a couple important keystrokes once we're in this meeting. So the ones that I pointed out, that I always like to point out when I'm demonstrating Zoom, are these. The first one is Alt-A.
Menu bar, audio now muted, leaving menu, Zoom meeting.
And it read a little more than it needed to read. But the important thing was Alt-A, mute your mic. And then hitting Alt-A again
audio now unmuted.
Makes your audio unmuted. So if you get into a meeting, we've talked about etiquette by now, and you get into a meeting and you need to mute because there's something going on, or especially if we get ready, as we get ready for the convention, they're trying to run a meeting and you've got background noise. Well, they don't want to hear all that. So the best thing to do is hit Alt-A and mute your mic. The next shortcut key is Alt-Y.
Oh, my hand now raised.
And that raises, as Strauss just said, that raises your hand. So if you're in, I don't really need this in this particular case because there are only two of us, but if you're in a bigger meeting and you want to talk,
host has acknowledged your raised hand.
Then you can raise your hand, and then the host will do what Derek just did and acknowledge my raised hand. So the only other keystrokes I would give you are Alt-H.
Alt-H, edit Zoom group chat.
And that opens, as Strauss just said, the Zoom group chat. So if you want to use your chat feature, for example, to ask a question or to send a message to a particular... Exactly. To send a message to everybody or to send a message to a particular person, you can do that. So if I type in this group chat,
hi,
then I can just hit enter.
Enter from me to everyone, hi.
And then I send the message to everybody. Now, if I type in hi again,
hi, H.
Whoops,
man.
I can't type. There we go.
Hi, period.
And if, let's say, we're in multiple meetings and I just want to send it to Derek, I can tab.
Chat text list box.
First, it'll show me the chat text, so the history.
To everyone button drop down.
And we have everyone, which would, of course, send it to everybody in there. Or if I hit space on that.
Space, everyone.
I have a drop-down menu that comes up, and I can send it to either everyone,
NFPCC,
or I can just send it to NFPCC, and I down arrowed to get it to do that. So I hit enter.
Enter input chat text. Hi. Edit.
Now I'm back in my text box.
Enter from me to NFPCC. Hi.
Hit enter again, and then that just goes to Derek as the host. So that's really useful if you're in a meeting and you want to send a message outside of that meeting to a particular person. Like a lot of people use that in our chapter meetings to for two people to talk about fundraisers. We just did a candy bar fundraiser, so there were a few separate chats going on about that and about who had how much candy and all that stuff. So I'm going to escape out of this.
Escape. Zoom meeting.
Hi, Bob.
So now we're out of the chat panel and back in the meeting.
I'm in the Zoom meeting. Muted myself.
Participants too.
So now we're in what's called the participants panel. There's more to this if you're the host of a meeting, because this is where you can control what's happening with the other participants in the meeting. Who's muted? You can see in there who raised their hand. You can kick somebody out if you absolutely have to. You can rename somebody. I'm not the host, so I can't do quite as much, but what I can do is hit tab.
Participant list, use arrow key to navigate and press tab for more options list box.
So this is a list of the participants.
Chris Nussbaum, me, computer audio unmuted, video off.
So I show up in the when I hit down arrow, that's always what happens first. You show up first in your participants panel, and then after that.
NFPCC host, computer audio unmuted, video off. You are the host now, NFPCC, computer audio unmuted, video off.
All right, thank you, Derek. Derek just made me the host. So now I can see myself.
Invite me all, unmute all, dot, dot, dot.
Oops.
Invite me all, unmute all, dot, dot, dot.
What's that?
Escape. Zoom meeting.
All right. Let me try to open participants again.
Alt U. NFBCC. Computer audio unmuted. Video off.
Okay. So now I can see that NFBCC is here.
Chris Nussbaum. Host. Me. Computer audio unmuted. Video off.
And then there's me, and I'm currently the host, but I can change that by tabbing around the participants panel.
Mute button. More options for Chris Nussbaum button drop down. Invite button. Mute all button.
And then there's a bunch of host controls, which Gary will talk about. But right now, I'm going to make
space, context menu, rename.
Derek the host
picture,
again.
Rename, add profile picture.
Actually, no, I take that back. I'm not. So the only things when I hit more options under my name that show up right now are rename and add profile picture. So that's if I want to change the way I'm displayed on the in the meeting or on other people's screens, and then profile picture. I guess I should add a profile picture at some point, but I've been using Zoom for 2 years and I still haven't added a profile picture. So that what really helps me with that in the participants panel, even if I'm not the host, is I can see who else is in the meeting, and sometimes you might want to know that.
Zoom meeting.
So escaped out of the participants panel, excuse me, and now I'm back in the main Zoom meeting screen. So, Derek, what I'm going to do is if you can keep the Zoom meeting open, I'm going to go back and join manually, and then we'll see it again.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so now to leave the meeting, there are a few ways to do this, but usually the easiest way that I've found is to do an Alt F4.
Alt F4, end meeting or leave meeting.
So right now I'm the host, so I guess I have the option of ending the meeting or leaving the meeting. Well, I just want to leave it.
End meeting for all button.
I don't want to do that. Tab again.
Leave meeting button.
Leave meeting. And then I'm going to hit enter.
Enter.
And now,
NFBCC. Assign and leave button.
Okay, so now what it's asking me to do is assign Derek to be the host, so I'm going to do that.
Enter. Leaving menus. Host attendees in Google Chrome. Please end.
Now I'm out of the meeting. Now, if I wasn't the host, then all that would happen is if I would hit Alt F4, and then it would leave, and it would put me back in whatever window I was in first. So right now I'm back on that page for the web browser. I don't want to be in there. I don't need to be in there. So I'm going to Alt F4 on that.
Alt F4, untitled Google Chrome. Zoom, landing meeting message, HTML, edit, HTTPS.
And now I'm back in the meeting. I don't want to be in there.
Alt F4, inbox, nuzbomb for gmail.com.
I don't need Outlook anymore. Alt F4, F4 there.
Exit and send later button to activate press space bar, Alt plus S.
Okay. I don't need to send any emails now, so I'm going to do that. And now I'm back in the program that I'm recording in. So now that we've closed out all of that stuff, that's the one thing with Zoom. It opens a bunch of windows. So what if somebody isn't quite as nice to you as Derek was to me, and they don't send you the link? Well, that's where we're going to have to enter the meeting ID manually, and that's when we're actually going to open Zoom and check out the Zoom main screen. So I'm going to hit Windows, my Windows key.
Search box edit, type in text.
And search box edit, so I'm just going to start typing in Z-O-O-M.
Z, start Zoom app, press right to switch preview.
Perfect. So when I hit Z, the first thing that came up was an icon called Start Zoom. Enter.
Enter. Rich Cavallo, external user 06/07/2018/11:40 p.m. You sent a contact request.
I'm not exactly sure what that is, but that's the first thing that shows up.
Decline request button. Chat tab check selected.
Okay, that's
home
why.
Home tab check selected.
So let me do that again. I was on a different tab, and I don't want to confuse you. So I'm going to Alt F4 on that.
Alt F4, Zoom Outlook plugin.
There's also a Alt Zoom F4, Outlook plugin, which you can use to schedule meetings and set them up in Outlook calendars, but that's something that we're not covering here. So let's go ahead and open Zoom again.
Search box edit, type of text. Z, start Zoom app, press right to switch preview, enter. Home tab check selected.
Okay, so when you open Zoom, you're going to be by default on your home tab, and that's where we are. So the best thing to do at this point is to just tab around, and if you tab around, you can just kind of explore what's on your Zoom home screen, so stuff like this.
Search edit.
Search box.
Zoom, Christmas bomb, status available, license, account button, drop down.
Then there's information about my account.
Settings button.
Settings.
Starting a new meeting with video off button. New meeting option button, drop down. Join button. Schedule button. Share screen button. Share option button, drop down. Friday, June 26th, 2024.
So there's a bunch of stuff that you can
Friday,
do. And if you just tab around, you can see more information about that. But right now, we just want to join a meeting, so I'm going to shift tab over there.
Share screen button. Schedule button. Join button.
So join, we're going to hit enter.
Enter. Please enter your meeting ID or personal link name edit.
Okay, so at this point, what we need to do is going to put in the meeting ID. Now, the best thing to do is if you, unless you're much better at remembering things than I am, the best thing to do is to just go ahead and write down the meeting ID in advance so you don't keep having to look back and look back and look back, and you can just type it in. So I wrote the meeting ID down on my Braille note taker. I have a Braille Sense, so I'm reading it off of there, and I'm just gonna type it in. So the way that I have my jaws set, you're not going to hear each number as it's typed, but you are going to know that I'm going to go ahead and read, or I'm sorry, go ahead and type the meeting ID.
Please enter your meeting ID or personal link name edit.
So when you hit your join button, that's the first thing that will show up, and that heading that, or that edit box rather, that is. So I'm gonna type in the meeting ID 408. Okay.
408682352. Blank.
So now we're just making sure that everything was typed in correctly, so I'm going to go ahead and hit enter.
Enter Zoom. Please enter meeting password edit.
Okay, so if it wasn't password protected, then I would have just joined the meeting and you would have seen that Zoom meeting screen that I showed earlier. But Derek password protected the meeting. So I need to look back at the password that I wrote down. So I'm going to type that in the same way that I typed in the meeting ID. Hit enter.
Star, enter Zoom. Please enter meeting password edit.
Uh-oh. I must have typed something wrong. Okay, hold on.
Blank.
All right, now hit enter.
Star, enter. Join with video button.
So then we've got the same thing, join with video or join without video.
Join without video button.
I tab to join without video. I'm going to hit enter on that.
Enter. Zoom. Zoom, you are using the computer audio. Zoom meeting.
So now we're in that Zoom meeting yet again.
You are hosted by NFTCC with two participants. Your audio is unmuted. Your video is off.
And it's going to tell us where we are. It's going to tell us what we're using, our computer audio or our phone audio, depending on what we want to use, and then it says whether or not the video is on or off. And we're in that same Zoom meeting screen. So Derek should be here again. Are you?
I'm right here.
Okay, cool. So now it's literally the same thing. So for example, all day.
Menu bar, audio now muted. Leaving menu, zoom
muted. Now I'm muted.
Audio now unmuted.
Now I'm unmuted.
All new participants too.
Now I can go into my participants panel. So it's literally the same thing we just did earlier. So it's the same thing. It's just a manual way of doing it. And at this point, we don't need the Zoom meeting anymore for this demo. So I can go ahead and just hit Alt F4.
Alt F4, Zoom meeting.
Chris, one thing before you exit the meeting.
Yes.
There was one keystroke that I wanted to bring up, and this is important to go with the etiquette portion. Alt-V will turn your video on and off. So
that's right.
As we said before, if you don't need your video, turn it off. That's the keystroke that you need to keep in mind when you're trying to do that. Because
but if you do need your video, you can also turn it on that way.
Right, yeah. Alt-V will toggle it on and off. Just like mute, you know, if you press it once, it'll turn it on. And
so how it's going to sound like is Alt-V.
Alt-V, video now started.
Video now started. Alt-V again.
Alt-V, video now stopped.
And the video stopped. Okay, any more keystrokes or anything else you want to add, Derek?
Not that I know of.
Okay, cool. So let's Alt F4 out of that.
Alt F4. Join button available.
And Zoom. Now we're back in the main Zoom window. So it's the same, that Zoom meeting screen is the same thing whether or not you click on it from the link or whether you put it in manually through the Zoom window. Either way, you have the same screen. You're just entering it differently. So the moral of the story that I share every time I demonstrate Zoom is if you want to make it easy on yourself, no matter which device you're using, the best thing to do if you get a meeting invitation is save it, because you want to use that link. That makes things so much easier on yourself, no matter what you're using, or even if you're using a phone. If you want to call in on a phone, you can use the OneTap mobile button, which is also in that email. So just make sure you save that email. And if you save it, you'll have everything you need. So let's close out of everything again.
Alt-F4, Ops 25.0.8.
So now I've closed out of Zoom, and the only thing I have open is OBS, which is a program I'm using to record. We're going to go back live now. And next up, we're going to show you, I'm going to show you with the help of our president, Brian Kessling, how to join a Zoom meeting on an iOS device and how to join one using the OneTap mobile feature if you want to call in on the phone. So I hope that helps. Feel free to ask any questions you might have, and here is the rest of the demonstration.
Play button, activate spacebar, Alt F5. Alt F4. Video, silence, zoom, multi-select, list box, join Delta.
Okay, so
meeting control, remove the mic, zoom.
Chris?
Auto muted.
Yeah. I think it might behoove us to take a few questions related specifically to that particular section. Because there was a lot of information in that. Yeah.
So we're just going to take a minute for Chris.
Stop
sharing.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Zoom, Chris, stop, status, presenting, button, setting button. Return to meeting button, schedule button.
Stop.
Beautiful.
Okay,
now, thank you. Thank you, Derek. Okay, any questions on the Zoom for PC?
We do have some questions.
Yes,
So we actually had a question who came up just as you were starting, so this might relate to the previous section.
Sure.
So the last four numbers of the phone number are 7956. And you are now unmuted.
Hi, my name is Fred Kamara. I'm calling from Bowie, Maryland. A member of the Sligo Creek chapter.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes. Actually, the demonstration has more or less answered my question, because I don't know. I mean, I use my phone for Zoom, but I wanted to know how I could do it on my laptop, which is a Windows laptop. So, but I think my I think the demonstration has helped to answer the question I was going to ask. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay, great.
That means we're doing our job.
Yeah. Right. All right, awesome. Any more?
Next?
Yeah, there are a couple more.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ronza.
And I'm just renaming Fred so that I can find him later, so I apologize. Okay. the phone number is 3678. You are unmuted.
Hi, this is Judy Nelson, Bowie, Maryland,
Judy.
The at-large chapter. I actually have my laptop going, but I had to run to the phone because I wanted to ask a question. And I'm not sure, how do you raise your hand? Is there a button or keystroke if you're in front of the computer? I know for sighted people, yes, if you have your video on, they see your hand up.
So are you on a Windows computer?
I am on a Windows computer.
Okay, so that would be Alt-Y.
Alt-Y. Okay, thank you. I did not know how to raise my hand. Now I can hang up the phone and go back to the computer.
And for those of you on the phone who want to raise your hand, if you're using a landline, you can do *9.
*9.
We haven't gotten to that portion of the presentation yet.
Right. Okay, next.
Thank you.
All right, and then Henry Osborne, you are unmuted.
Okay, Henry? This participants panel is going to drive me nuts. Okay.
Henry?
Hello, Henry.
Henry?
Okay, you got a...
Hey, Rhonda.
Who
is it?
Terry?
Rhonda, it's Terry Powers, not Henry.
We're on
the same phone number.
I'm sorry, Terry. Okay.
Okay, Terry, go ahead.
What I was wondering is, okay, say you go in under the same, under a link, a web address. Are there different ways you can get to different meetings, or are we going to have to keep like an email listing of all the different NFB meetings, or what? How's this going to work? Because, throughout the convention, we're going to have multiple meetings.
That would be a Ronza question. Actually, if John Bergeron's still here, that would be a question for him. Okay.
But there is a lot of feedback. So
somebody...
Hey, we can't hear. There's a lot of background music.
I'm ringing the bell camp bell. Bell ringers.
Who is all that?
Okay. So, Ronza, do you want to kind of take that question or just... And everybody is muted, by the way. I'm the only one talking.
Yes, and of course, I'm on here on two devices. I'm a co-host and a host. And so, of course, every time the group gets muted, I get muted too. All right, Chica, you need to mute yourself and stay muted, please, because you have a lot of background noise that is interfering with other people being able to hear. And if you are not able to stay muted, I will mute you and keep you muted. Okay, so with regard to the question that Terry asked, which was very, very insightful,
Yes. The
national convention will be in two different formats, depending on the nature of the meeting. So all of the general sessions and the banquet will be in what's called webinar mode. And all of the breakout sessions, the caucus, the division meetings, things where there are actually opportunities for speaking and engaging and interacting will be in what's called meeting mode. Today, currently, we are in meeting mode. Those of you that have listened to, for example, the presidential release mm-hmm. will recognize that that is webinar mode. Meeting mode means it's a lot more interactive. You can mute and unmute yourself. You can raise your hands. The chat feature is open. So you've noticed that lots of us have been chatting, back channeling different types of questions and things about, oh, I can't hear Chris. Oh, yes, I can hear Chris. Webinar mode is locked down. And so what that means is that you can do some interaction. For example, you may be able to raise your hand depending on what the host sets the features as. There's sometimes a Q&A feature where you can actually like type in a question, but it's not a full outright chat. You cannot see who else is on the meeting. So like right now you can go in the meeting mode, you can go see that there's 66 of us on here and you can see who they are and you can private message any of them. In webinar mode, you can't. So what does that mean in terms of phone numbers or in terms of call-in participation codes? Well, it means a couple different things. It means, unfortunately, there is not only one participation code. Those of you from the NFB of Maryland know that we use the same code for everything. We use the same call-in numbers. We use the same code for anything that's affiliate-sponsored, and most of the chapters use the same code as well. That will get you into the Maryland caucus. That's the good news. The bad news is it probably won't get you into anything else. The convention agenda will have information on how to log in to all of the other different sessions. There will be information disseminated on listservs and so forth. And of course, if you have trouble finding what you need or you need help, then I suggest you contact your chapter president or your state president, and we will help you. One key thing that I do with a lot of my colleagues and friends is I have a setting called copy link enabled in my Zoom account. I just went into my profile and I set it up that way. So every time I log into a Zoom account, because it's easier for me to find it in an email, I have email on my phone or on my computer, I can then, it automatically copies that link to my system. And then I go and I text it to all of my low-tech friends. And so that way they have a text message directly for the meeting on their phone in an iMessage that they can just double tap on and it'll take them directly into the same meeting I'm in. So that's one little sort of shortcut I take.
Awesome.
All right, so we've got a few more raised hands.
Sure, let's take a couple more.
Okay, Aloma. And Aloma, I'm afraid to unmute
there
you because
we go.
You'll unmute yourself and then we'll be playing you
yourself. I wasn't sure if you were going to revise it.
Go ahead.
So I have a question. Thank you. I have a question, Chris, please. I've been using the simple OneTouch mobile, or OneTac mobile, I guess it is, because of the Wi-Fi that I'm using. I'm actually getting better audio through just calling in. But I won't want to do that the entire time during the convention. So I'll be using more in the on the laptop. So you mentioned something, Chris, about more than once having to enter in the code, the ID code, and then you copied it in from your BrailleSense. I don't know how many times I might need to enter that, but can't I just save it and copy it to the clipboard and then just keep pasting it that way?
Derek
is wanting to answer
Derek,
the question.
Yes, go ahead, Derek.
You should in theory, sorry about that. You should in theory be able to, it depends on how it's set up, but if you have a URL for each one, you shouldn't have to deal with typing in anything because you can just click on the URLs. So you shouldn't have to really copy any codes at all if you have those URL emails. I don't know how they're going to do it with the convention, if they're going to like send everyone like the classes they've signed up for. I don't know how that works, but I would assume they would somehow give you the URL because they have to give you the ID and password. Why not just give you the link as well with that? So I don't know how much entering you'll have to do, but if you have to reuse something, you could put it in like a text file or something on your computer and then just paste it in whenever you needed it.
That's what I was wondering. Can I just paste it? If I'm using the same one over and over and over, I can just save it.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you could do the same thing, just copy the URL in a text file and then paste that into your browser, and it'll just say open Zoom meetings, and you just hit yes, and then it opens right up.
Okay.
Yeah. And so in theory, I'm sorry, go ahead, Ronza. Just real quick.
One theory, Brian,
that I'm going to think is with regards to these meetings, as in most cases with Zoom, the invitations are individualized, even though they may be using the same Zoom meeting rooms. I would imagine that the various seminars and things like that are going to have specific invitations, or at least, specific URLs directly linked to those particular seminars, in which case, yeah, they might be using the same ones for multiple different seminars, but the quick links probably are going to be your best bet overall, Llama, to get into those things easily.
So I won't have to do it the way Chris did.
In theory, I mean, do you disagree with that, Ronza, based on what we know?
Well, we don't know everything. And Pam Allen's here, so she might be able to answer this question. But for the breakout sessions, each room, each meeting will have its own a distinct, unique call-in number.
Right.
For the general sessions, it may be that they're the same throughout the week, but I don't know that. And unfortunately, John Bergeron had to leave.
Pam,
so Pam, if you know the answer, go ahead.
I'm not 100% sure. We are still working on all the logistics of this, everybody. So I appreciate everyone's patience, but we will have this information at the rookie roundup. But I think there will also be a way to click on things via the agenda too.
Chris.
So I'm not 100% sure of this because some of this is unfolding.
Right. So thank you, Pam. One other thing for those of you that are landline users, or iPhone users, but not app users, not so much the landline users, but the iPhone, the people that don't want to use the app, you're a little less tech, you prefer a little less tech. One thing I do with my Zoom meetings is I create a contact card that has the phone number if it's a recurring meeting, and it has the phone number and the code and the password, and as long as you put two commas between the phone number and the code, and then two additional commas between the code and the password if there is a password. And when you tell your phone, you just tell, Siri, call NFBMD Zoom, and it will do everything for you.
Pam. I think Ronza's suggestion is excellent because that's going to come in handy in multiple ways during the convention. But I just also wanted to mention something really quickly to people that visually, and if you're using, JAWS or whatever speech user, if somebody is not talking, but they're making a lot of background noise, you're visually highlighted, or I think it's green or something, if I remember correctly.
Yes, the little microphone icon
turns green. Green. And the person for us that are using assistive technology, it moves up to the top. So I just mentioned that because everybody can tell who it is that's making a lot of noise. I only share that because it's important for people to know that in meeting settings, because that can be an issue.
Thank you. I didn't know that.
Thanks, everybody. That is true. That's how that's, for example, I wasn't picking on Chica. I could tell that Chica was the one that had all the background noise because
exactly.
It jumped.
Right. So it's helpful to know that, though, as a person, so people are
especially
just aware of
that.
And when you're hosting, you can help the person note it, too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay,
right.
Thanks, everybody. I'll mute myself again.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Do we have time for one or two more, Ronza?
I think so. We have a lot of raise hands, but I have a couple other things I just want to share.
Well, we got some other stuff to cover, so yeah, can we get maybe one or two more, and then we can...
Currently unmuted.
So we're going to do... The last four numbers of the phone number are... 1792. I'm sorry. Get you unmuted.
Me?
All right, you are unmuted.
Okay. Hi, this is Wanda Sloan from the Miami Valley chapter in Dayton, Ohio. Got in a little late and you may have already answered this, but let me try it anyway. Okay. I have a laptop, HP 10, 2013 Word. Okay, now here it is. Okay, I log in, I press the log button. It tells me to go to the storage. Okay, so I tap over the storage and I get a list of things. What do I do? I need to download the app. What do I do?
Chris or Derek?
I'm sorry to you'll have to repeat the question again. Yeah. I was trying to mute somebody. So you're saying download the iPhone, you're trying to download the iPhone app?
Yeah, no. I'm on my computer. I have a laptop. Okay. HP 10.
Oh, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I hit the log button and takes me to the storage. And storage, and I tap into that, and it says I need to put my app in. How do I do that?
Okay, so when you say the log button, are you referring to the link in the email, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Like you get an invitation, and you hit the log button.
So that will open your web browser, and then it's probably, if you don't have the Zoom client installed on your laptop, so if you don't have the it's, I think it's called Start Zoom is how the screen reader reads it. If you don't have that installed, it's going to encourage you to install it because it will allow you to use more features, like, it's a different interface, and it's built into the computer at that point. So if you download that file and you run it, it'll be a .exe file or an application. It will install the program, the Zoom client program, onto your physical hard drive of your laptop. And then in the future, when you click the link, it will open up your browser because it's a URL. And then it will say, would you like to open, or this website is trying to open Zoom meetings.
Okay.
So if you heard the part of my demo where I clicked on the link and then it said something wants to open Zoom meetings, and then you tab and it says open Zoom meetings and you hit enter on that, that's what will take you straight into the meeting. But the easiest, you can in theory do it in your web browser if you really don't want to download Zoom, but in my experience it's much easier to just download the Zoom.
And I would second that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
All right, guys. Well, we do have to kind of move on. So if you guys have questions, we will see how much time we have towards the end of the program to see if we can get some more questions in. Also, keep in mind that we are always available as resources if there's other questions that you guys need to ask, you know, after this particular workshop has concluded. So that is an open-ended invitation as well. So Chris, do you want to move on into the iPhone portion?
Yeah. So let me just, before I forget this, somebody emailed me with a good question about Zoom alerts. And that was, well, what do I do if I'm on Zoom on the computer and I don't want to hear every time, I don't want to hear JAWS or NVDA saying, this person joined or this person left. And this person said that she was trying to use that during the presidential release. And the tip was to press Windows Alt S. And she was saying that wasn't working. And the question was why. Well, Alt Windows S is a keystroke that isn't actually in the Zoom program. It's part of a script, meaning an add-on, that was made by Brian Hartgen, H-A-R-T-G-E-N. And especially during convention, I would recommend downloading that thing. There's a free version and a paid version, but you can download the free version. And one of the things that allows you to do is mute your alerts. So that is where that Alt Windows S keystroke comes from. And the website there is hartgen.org.
You can also turn off the notifications directly in your profile. Correct. As well, but that takes a little more effort.
Yeah. Right. So fortunately, the next two demos will be much less detailed because all we're going to do is use the link. Now, if you have the app on your iPhone, you can use basically the same principle. You would be you would hit the join button and you would enter the meeting ID just like I did in Windows, and the password if it's a password protected meeting. But as I said earlier, it's much, much, much easier on yourself to keep that link from that invitation, so you don't have to do all that. All you have to do is click on the link in that meeting. And I know it's a long link, but you don't even have to listen to it. Just double tap from your phone. So Brian has the phone that we're going to be using. Do you have the email app?
I do.
Okay, cool. So I already showed you how the invitation reads. But we're going to look at that.
Landscape.
Home
button to portrait. Okay. Can everybody hear this? Okay.
More actions.
Yep.
Begin forwarded message.
Yeah.
Swipe up or down to select a custom action.
Try to put it a little closer to your iPad. It'll eliminate the echo a little bit.
Landscape. What's that?
Home button to left.
Try to get it closer to your iPad. It might eliminate.
It's as close as it's going to get, man.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Don't worry about it.
Yep. All right. So go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so we're going to go down to that link where it says join Zoom
message
meeting.
Message three, yesterday, two, begin, more action, see more.
Let me get the right message up first.
There you go.
NF 47 underscore, the National Federation, page 2 and 4, notifications. PGA Tour.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I have no idea how you have your phone.
Maverick 21,200. Message 103. https://j/6248133.
So, blah, 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 blah. It's the same link we used earlier. So, zoom.us/j/meeting ID. So, we're going to double tap on that link. And it's going to open the Zoom app. And now, there's two of Brian.
To hear others, please join
audio. Well, I don't have the audio brought up, but if you want me to enable it, I'm going to walk into the other room so it doesn't beat our brains out.
Well,
but do you want to go ahead and mention the pop-up box, the audio option pop-up box that comes on there?
So you can set that to go away, which I did,
but
by default, what you do when you hit that button or that link on your iPhone is there's a little box that comes up and you have to make sure VoiceOver reads it, because I missed it a few times and started talking and nobody could hear me. So there's two. Yeah, that's the meeting ID.
Right. So
please join audio.
Call using internet audio or call in. So you have the option.
Yep. So that's call using internet audio is basically using your iPhone's mic, and dial in means you're calling in on the phone and you'll hear it through your phone. But the good thing is if you have to call during your phone or if you have to call from your phone and you're using the app, then everybody already has your name. So that's helpful. Otherwise, if you use the one tap mobile button, your number shows up. So I did that a few times when I needed to join some Zoom meetings during last year's national convention, because the service in some places in that hotel sucked. Not the service, the Wi-Fi. So I dialed in rather than calling using the internet audio. So then the final thing is this.
I'm sorry, Chris, before you do that. Just talk about how the very first time you log into the app, it's going to ask you to enable your microphone, enable your video.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen those notifications when you download an app that says, we'll use Zoom. Zoom would like to access the microphone. Allow it. Zoom would like to access the camera. If you want to ever use video, when you see Zoom wants to access the camera, then you allow that too. So if you want that dialogue or that pop-up not to come up again, you can go into your settings and change stuff about the audio and the video. So you can turn that
on. It's under the profile settings on the iOS app.
Right.
Yes, you can.
So OneTap Mobile, finally. I love OneTap Mobile. So if we go back into that email.
Message 2 of 3. Come on. Message 1 of 3. More action. HTTP.
Safari. No, no.
App switcher.
What is that?
App Safari. I don't know.
Close
why.
Mail. Activate. Close mail. Activate.
Technical issues. 1 second.
Message 1 of 3. More action. See more. To unsubscribe. HD. NFB Maryland. Page 2 of 4. Are you new to Zoom and still join? 8. Meeting ID. Okay. 1 tab. Plus,
okay.
6, 4, 6, 8, 7, 1 tap.
Blah,
mobile.
Blah, blah. So, plus, 1 tap mobile.
6, 4, 6, 8, 7, 6, 9, 9, 2, 3.
And then
6,
it's going to read
4,
a big number.
1 tap mobile.
Yeah, that's the, and that's the number that Bronza was talking about when she was talking about, when Bronza was talking about the number and then adding commas, that's what she was talking about. So, this is cool. Because as soon as you click on this number, it does this.
Are you new to Zoom? It's meeting I one tap plus 1 6.
The double tap.
Alert.
Doing
call plus 1. Cancel.
Of course.
Call plus 1.
Let me get it on speakerphone.
Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press pound to continue.
And then you hit pound if you want to join the meeting.
You are in the meeting now. There are more than 50 participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded. You are muted.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to jump off.
Yeah, so jump off. So the cool thing about that One Tap Mobile is it does everything for you. The link, it does everything for you. There's a theme. Unless you have to enter everything manually, if you save that invitation and you click on either the link or the One Tap Mobile button, it does everything for you because Zoom likes to make things easy for us. So that is how you get into Zoom on all your devices, whether it's a smartphone or any kind of phone, really, a tablet, a phone, and a computer. So I used Windows. You can get it on Mac. Do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, any further questions?
So, just talk about a landline. How do you use it? How do you call in if you're on a landline? What do you do?
So, if you're on a landline, you would go. You would go below that One Tap Mobile button in the notification or in the invitation email. I can't talk. And it says dial by your location. So if you're from Maryland, for example, you would call the 301 number, but you can call any of those numbers if you're on a landline. And the only thing is when you call one of those numbers, you have to put in the meeting ID manually. So that's where I would write down the meeting ID on my Braille note taker or even on a piece of paper and read that as I'm typing it into my landline phone. So it's the same principle if you've ever called into a conference call before Zoom became a thing. If you've ever called into a conference call, it's the same concept.
So what about the hotkeys for a phone, a landline?
Actually, I don't know those. So.
Okay, so there are.
All right,
so
the hot are 9 for raising hands.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Right, okay. So whether you're calling from a landline or whether you're calling using the One Tap Mobile button, mute is *6 and raise your hand is *9.
So there is a little glitch if you're calling from a landline with *9 right now that Zoom says it'll fix in the next release, but it hasn't done that. If you're, and when I say landline, I don't necessarily mean landline. I mean like actually calling in using a phone of some kind, because I think there's like 4 of us in the world that still have landlines. but if you raise your hand with *9, you would unraise your hand, lower your hand, using that same hotkey, but for that same, button configuration. But for whatever reason, right now, Zoom has a little bit of a glitch. So you can raise your hand, but you can't lower it if you've dialed in directly. So you have to wait for the host to manually lower your hand for you.
Mm-hmm. Good info. Awesome.
Cool.
All right. So do we want to take a couple questions?
Sure.
All right. Why don't we go with that?
I see. Okay. I'm looking at the participants panel. And
I got it, Chris.
Okay.
All right, Judy. You Rasmussen. Are unmuted. Nelson.
Judy Nelson.
My question is relatively simple. I heard you all say that this was being recorded. Is there a way
Judy, we're having
we
some
can't
trouble
hear
hearing you.
You.
Yeah.
Can you get a little
it's
closer
very
to your computer?
Muffled.
How about now?
That's
there
better.
You go.
Okay. I've heard you all say that this is being recorded. I was wondering if there was a way to, how do we go, is there a way to go back and review everything that was done today in this workshop?
Yes. So two things. I think what I'd like to do is ask Chris if you're willing to send me the recording you've already done, because I'll post it in separately as well if people just want that part.
Is it okay if I stick it in a Dropbox?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what, Judy, if you visit the NFB of Maryland website, it's going to take us about a day to get this up or so, but if you visit the NFB of Maryland website, we will have, there's a page from our main page about our NFB of Maryland workshops during COVID-19, and this will be on that. The
okay.
recording of this meeting will be there.
Okay. Thank you.
We will also be adding some resources for those of you who need them or are interested, like the list of shortcut keys for desktop clients and keystrokes for the app, as well as the landline dial-in, the *9s and the *6s. So there will be a resource guide that you can download and keep handy during the convention.
Okay. Thank you. In a quick word to listeners, if you use a computer, download the app. It makes it so much easier.
Yes. Most definitely.
All right. Next, we have Robert Hart, who actually had a question before. So I'm going to ask you to unmute. You've got to unmute yourself.
Well, now that we've learned how to do that.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can.
Thank you. Yes, this is Bob Hart from the Greater Alexandria chapter in Virginia. It was mentioned earlier that you can put a picture of yourself in your profile. When I go to with my sighted colleagues, they just really need something to look at. And sometimes if I'm in my pajamas or something, I may not want a live video. Is there a way I can make my picture get posted so they can at least look at that during a Zoom meeting?
Yes.
Chris or Derek, you want to take that?
Yes. So I know how to do it. I know how to do it on the iPhone. I don't know how to do it on Windows, but I'm sure it's similar.
It's very similar.
Scott LaBar one time referred to sighted people as being light dependent. And I think this would be an example of that concept because they have to have something to look at. So they can't live without it. You can do, I know how to do this on the iPhone, and I'm sure it's similar on Windows. So on the iPhone, you go into your settings, and then there's something in the profile settings that says add profile picture. And then you can get something out of your camera to use as your profile picture. Mm-hmm. There's also a new thing about backgrounds. I haven't played with it, but I want to. There's a thing where you can set a background to show up on the screen as you're talking, but the profile pic is the more important one.
So Chris, let me add to what you're. I'm sorry, Ron's on.
Sorry, I was just going to say the key. Hold on, Brian. Real quick, 1 second. I apologize, because this came up in the chat too. The key with their pictures, whether it's a background or a profile pic, is if you're using the iPhone, you need to name it as something you're going to find when you go into your photo roll. Otherwise, as a blind person, you will have no idea because it'll be photo 1842, 1967.
And I was just going to add to both what Chris and Ronza are saying. As far as the profile picture in the background, so as somebody who has sight, what I can tell you is that virtually everybody on this particular workshop are not using video. So essentially what comes up is there's a tiny profile pic that pops up in the middle of the screen, and many folks don't have a profile pic associated with their particular avatar. So it's just a generic silhouette, if you will. And then the background that Chris mentioned basically is what's framed around that picture. If you don't have a background set, it basically just comes up as a black screen with the avatar picture in the middle of it. So just to kind of give you guys an idea of what it looks like. So I have not played with it yet, but because I usually use video. But yeah, that's basically what they serve. So anything else? One more?
And on your screen, email to everyone for your information.
Whoa. Okay.
So just so you know where to go to get your picture to, or your background, you go on the iPhone app or the iPad app, you go to more. And it's in that. And then if you're using the desktop client, you hit enter on your name. And then you tab once, and there'll be a list of different things. And you want to go down to settings and hit enter, and then it opens up the settings page, and you'll be able to make choices about your avatar, your background, and your image there.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Tiffany.
Hey.
Zoom
us
has
Brian, a new window.
Yes.
Brian, okay. Unless anyone has any AV questions, I'm going to have to step out because I do have to go. Got our driver coming here shortly.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Dustin.
Thank
appreciate
you, Dustin.
It,
okay, thank Take you, care. Guys. I apologize, but
no problem.
You're good. You're good.
Late today, and I have to go on. So it's been great.
See you.
And I will talk to everyone later.
Thank you very much.
All right, one more. Ronza.
Tiffany Green, you're up, and you're unmuted.
Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to note that the Zoom history is also an option for recurring meetings. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using a desktop, your last 10 meetings that you joined will be available in your history if they have the same IDs and passwords. If you're going to join that same meeting, it cycles to the most recent 10 meetings in your Zoom history. And for the ID that Aloma was asking about, I have copied the ID, especially on an iPhone. I've copied the ID and pasted it into the Zoom app for the iPhone because for some reason the link wasn't working. So I have done that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. One other thing real quick, if I may. The other thing that you can ask for shortcuts or concerns is you can also incorporate these links into your iCalendar or your Google Calendar as well, mm-hmm. which is also a nice feature because not only will it remind you that there is a particular meeting that is coming up, it also has the link through that as well, so you can access the application in a particular Zoom room through your calendar as well. So, Chris, what else you got, buddy?
I believe that's all I got.
Can we just get one more question? Sure. She's been waiting for a while.
Yep, sure.
All right. Donna Ring?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I wanted to say that for people who have a landline or use the iPhone like a phone instead of as an app, that you can use the one tap audio for the phone. In other words, if even though you're calling from a landline, you can use that phone number. You don't have to go to the long list underneath.
That's right. That is correct.
That's very helpful. And the other thing is there's somebody that throughout this whole meeting has been running some kind of program or some kind of audio that is continuously running in the background. I don't know who that was or who that is, but it's kind of distracting.
There's some kind of echo going on.
I've been playing around. It's Brian, actually.
Yeah, well, we can hear it. It sounds like, you know, like somebody has a radio station going or something. You know what I mean? It just
Unfortunately, that's kind of part and parcel with this. Again, we try to get as much under control as it comes to background noise. And that's why we made a point to really hammer home the issue of good Zoom etiquette. It's really, really difficult sometimes to kind of nail that stuff down, especially the bigger the group you have, but you do make a very, very good point. And also to your point regarding the hot link. So for those of you that may not be aware, because we kind of skimmed over it, but like Chris said, it speaks a lot of gobbledygook. Essentially, the hot link is just a combination of the phone number, the meeting ID, and the passcode all clumped together in one thing. So it's basically just providing the ability for your phone to automatically dial those numbers, you know, respective of the different parts of the entry. So it's all plugged together. The phone number is essentially the same as was pointed out, but it's all just clumped together in one thing. So you're right, the hot link number is a good phone number.
Right. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that the I had it in the tip of my tongue. When we have the convention, it's very, very helpful since we're going to have lots of different meetings. It really is good to put it on your calendar, because then all you have to do is you'll give you a alert, and then for those of us who are working from home or what, you know, we can come in and out as time permits.
Ronza, do you know if they're going to do the iCalendar file with the whole convention
agenda
this year?
Awesome.
Yay.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
That's beautiful.
So, great. That'll be wonderful.
Awesome.
That really helps. Like the NFB of Pennsylvania does that, and you just go right into the link and add to your calendar. It's really helpful.
Beautiful.
So two suggestions on that, Donna, and for everybody, and thank you. Those are really great thoughts. You can actually link your Zoom account when you create an account to your calendar, regardless of which platform you use for email, and it will flow any calendar appointments that you have into Zoom. So then you can just open the Zoom client, it'll show up as an upcoming meeting. So one of the things
that
I do
for... I meant to mention that some of the providers block emails from Zoom. Mine does. I cannot get any emails directly from Zoom. All right, they are blocked. My provider does not consider it safe enough.
Provider
that may do
that. That would be my initial thought. Spam filter, maybe.
Yeah, they're concerned about privacy and about protection and everything. You know, and bad actors and whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you work for a federal agency, so you might have on your
this isn't my federal computer. This is Saturday.
Okay. So that's a good point. So you need to check your spam settings and see if you can allow that. One thing that Donna did mention that I do want to address that I'm not sure Brian did address it, but I don't think Brian realizes it's him. There is an echo. There has been an echo throughout this entire meeting, and it is actually coming from Brian, his account, his instance of being on here. And of course, because he has it, because he's the one who's creating it, he doesn't realize that's the case. And so throughout this meeting, I've been trying to figure out where is it, who is it? Well, he's a host, right? So there's not, you know, a lot you can do there. One of the challenges, Brian has his video on. So one of the things that we figured out, and that this has been borne out by guidance that Zoom has actually provided, is when you put on your video, it uses a lot of bandwidth, and that causes some distortions in the audio. And so really, I recommend that if you're not needing your video, don't put it on, because it does interfere with other people's ability to hear and engage.
Okay, just one real quick point about that, Ronza. As far as my bandwidth is concerned, I have 1 gigabit download, so bandwidth shouldn't be an issue. Do you know what the nature of it is? Is it just the audio coming across the microphone? Are you hearing some background noise?
You've got an echo behind you. So anytime anybody other than you talks, we can hear ourselves.
I don't think it's solely plugged in,
Brian. That may have been when we did the iPhone part, which is when I walked away from it. But we
still happening.
Still, let me see something real quick. I'm pretty sure it's.
That's not just Brian, because there was a point where Brian was muted and I still heard it. So that's not just a Brian thing. There's multiple people that have that issue.
Where is this thing?
Okay. So
probably someone who left their mic open, and now the speaker or the microphone's picking up their speaker output.
Do we have, and we'll figure that out among ourselves, but do we have time for more questions or do you have another topic?
Chris, what do you have left over, bud?
That's all. One quick thing, and that's all I got. So we were talking about convention, and Ronza pretty much covered everything, but I wanted to emphasize, after I got an email that was sent to all convention registrants with a couple Zoom links, I texted John Bergeron with the same question that somebody else had, which was like, whoa, are all these links coming out in separate emails? Do I have to save everything? And he said, no, they're all going to be posted on the convention hub webpage, including the agenda. So that'll be nfb.org/convention. Everything is right there, so you can look no further. But I agree with somebody's suggestion of putting events that you want to go to in a calendar, so you have only those Zoom links and you're not looking around every time you try to join a meeting. So I would agree there, but everything will be in one place to make things easy for everybody. So that is all I've got.
All right. So I do want to take some more questions, but I'd like to get Gary on with his portion of it. We can take some more questions as we finish up. Is that okay, Ronza? We go that route? Okay. So
can everybody hear me?
Yep, Gary. Go ahead, buddy. Take it away.
Can you hear me?
I can.
You can hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. This thing with hosting, you might really think you don't want to host. You might think, I'm not interested in that. But as you get into Zoom, you're going to find that you get used to it and you find that hosting isn't that hard. And even if you don't want to host a meeting, you can use Zoom to make very good podcasts with, because you have the video and you have the audio and the sound is good. So you may even want to do something like that. But let's just talk about how you could host a meeting. Let's say that my wife and I have really been missing since we've been in with this COVID. We haven't seen Brian. We haven't seen Chris. We haven't seen Derek. And we haven't seen a guy up here named Charles. We haven't seen much of them and we miss them. So we want to have a virtual lunch and ice cream party. My wife makes very good ice cream. So we're going to host a meeting. So we go to our Zoom app, and you can schedule a meeting either from the tab that says home or the tab that says meetings. I usually use the one that says meetings, and I'm doing this from the point of view of a laptop, Windows computer, JAWS 20, that kind of thing, Windows 10. I could tell you the Mac, and I could tell you the iPhone and iPad, it's much harder to host. You can do it, but it's much harder. So I'm recommending you use your computer if you want to host. So you go to meetings, the meetings tab, and you tab over to where it says schedule meeting, and you push your space bar on that. Well, right away, you're going to think you're in trouble because you're not going to hear anything. It's going to say context menu, and that's all. And if you try to type, you're not going to know what to do. And if you try to tab, you're not going to hear anything. But if you go down arrow, you will hear something. You go down arrow, you hear something that says, the top part of the menu says schedule meeting. If you down arrow once, it says Google Calendar. And if you down arrow again, it says Outlook Calendar. And this means that you can schedule these meetings through using your calendars. I don't like that because I like the Apple calendar. So therefore, I use the Apple calendar and I don't bother with this. So I simply go to the schedule meeting one at the top and press enter or press your space bar again. And then you're in business because then you're in, it says topic, meeting topic. Okay, so in our meeting we're going to have here, it says meeting topic. I'm going to say lunch and ice, virtual lunch and ice cream party. Let's catch up with each other. I might say something like that. or I might even put my wife's in my name. Gary and Ninette Legates, lunch and virtual ice cream party. Let's hang out. Something like that. Make it as definite as you can, because you want people to know when they see this thing, you want them to know exactly what it's going to be. The more information you can give, definite information, the better it is. Okay, so then you tab over, and you're going to see a thing that says day, and then you're going to see a thing that says year, and then you're going to see a thing that says start. So just keep tabbing over till you get to start. Well, before you get to start, I should say, you're going to see this thing that says day and year and all that stuff. And when you get to where it says day, some of these are just spin boxes, and some of them are you able to type in or spin, use a spin box. I would simply say use the spin box because I can never remember which ones you can type in and which ones you can't. Joel says you can type in all of them, but you can't. Anyway, you'll see day, and you can arrow up and down to pick your day. So right now it would say Saturday, arrow up, it would say Sunday, arrow down, it would say, and actually it's not going to say the day, it's going to say the date. So, you know, it would give today's date, tomorrow's date, and if you went, you know, further up, Monday's date. So pick your day that you want to pick. And then go over enough, it says hour. And I think this one is one you can type into, but again, I don't know. It's a spin box. You can pick your hour that you want. And tab over again, it'll say minutes. You can pick your minute. And you don't have to enter on this. Once you pick it, you've got it. So you just pick your time that you want. Then you'll see a thing that says, you'll see a thing that says duration. Now, this is something I didn't know until a couple days ago. When it says duration, it'll say an hour, and then you can arrow up and it'll say 2 hours. Then you can arrow up, it'll say 3 hours. And if you right arrow, it'll give you a chance to put the minutes in 15 minute increments. However, what I didn't realize is if you don't, once you pick your duration time, and the default duration time is an hour, if you have a pro account. If you don't have a pro account, now somebody just said today, they're letting us have longer times if you don't have a pro account. But normally, if you have a pro account, you can go as long as you want. But if you don't have a pro account, you can only go for 40 minutes, I think. But if you have a pro account, go up, and when you get to the time duration that you want, press enter on it, and that'll lock it in. I've been wondering why I couldn't lock the darn thing in. That's why. It does pay to read the book, and I do want to mention this book. Me being a teacher, I have to recommend a book to you. There's a very good book from the Carroll Center of the Blind, and I'm sure that we can put this in the notes or something for this meeting. It's sold by the Carroll Center of the Blind, and it's got a title. I cannot remember the exact title. Zoom. It's brand new, and it explains to you how to use your iPhone, how to use your Joel's computer, NVDA. I don't think it covers the Mac, but we have a list of commands that we can send out as a chapter that cover all these things. So if you want to know. Anyway, this book makes it very clear about this, and that's where I read about this entering on the to lock the duration of the meeting. And by the way, something else I didn't know. Let's say you're the host of a meeting, and you get in, and then you get thrown out, and people are in your meeting. They can stay in that meeting if you have a pro account as long as they want, or as long as the duration of the meeting goes. If you can't get back in, that meeting will still go. That's something I didn't know, but I got thrown out one night and it worked out. Then you see a thing that says recurring. Now I thank Tiffany because I did not know something that she said about recurring meetings, that if you go to your history, you see all these recurring meetings. I have steered away from recurring meetings. Like if I want to host a meeting, I don't want it to be recurring because my experience has been, especially with high school students, they lose the invitations. And, you know, you expect them to have them and they lose them. I've even lost a few invitations. So I don't like to use recurring meetings. But if you do push on recurring, it'll let you tell when it will recur every week, every month, every day, what? The next thing you see is meeting ID generate automatically. This means that you've got a choice here, and you can go up and down arrow to choose which you want. If you pick generate automatically the meeting ID, it'll make a new meeting ID for every one of your meetings. I would suggest you use that. If you don't use that, you're going to use your own personal meeting ID, which is like your own personal room number, and that could get out, and it would be more likely that you could suffer from Zoom bombing if you perhaps use the same number all the time. This way, a new number is generated for every meeting that you pick. And then there's a thing, password. Now, we just found out the other day that Zoom is coming out with an update. And when they come out with this update, you've got a choice. You either use the waiting room or you use password. You cannot use neither. So you pick. And I would suggest you pick the password because it's much easier. And the meeting will, Zoom people will put a password in. I think that you can edit that password to some extent, although I don't know that for a fact. I've never had much luck with it.
We do have the same, for example, the NFB of Maryland, we have the same password. If there is a meeting number, if there is a password, it's always the same password, and we don't generally publicize it, or if we do, we tell people what the character values are of the password, okay, so that we avoid Zoom bombing.
Okay.
So pro tip, it's NFB.
See, I'm not sure.
So translate that.
Are they going to let you do that after this new update comes out, though? I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not sure they will let you use the same password.
They will. The reason that they will is the new update is mirroring something called Zoom Gov, which is what government agencies are using. And so they're applying a lot of the same requirements.
Okay. So then what you're saying is you can type in whatever you want your password to be, and it can be the same for every meeting. Okay.
Yes.
I've never done that, but the next thing is video on or off for the host. And depending on what kind of meeting is, since Brian can see, we'll probably put on the video for the host and for the guest so he can have it if he wants. So you have video on or off for host, video on or off for participants. Then you have audio. You can pick from audio just with the telephone, audio just with the computer, or audio with telephone and computer. And I pick audio with telephone and computer simply because I know people use both. Now, if you were in a work situation where everybody was using computers, maybe you'd be better just pick audio with computer, but that's up to your situation. Then it says dial in from US, unless you're making international Zoom calls, just leave it alone. Then you have a thing about calendar. I don't use it, so I skip it. And then you have a thing that says advanced meeting options. Now, once you pick these, you don't ever have to touch them again unless you want to change them. But if you space on these, it opens up the panel, and here are the choices you have. Enable waiting room, it's checkbox or not checked. And again, you can choose to do a waiting room, but it makes it a lot more tough to host. Enable co-hosts. Mute participants upon entry. I usually let my participants talk when they come in among themselves, but you can mute them all if you wanted to. You can also pick a thing where only authenticated users can join. I guess that means that you have to have a Zoom account. I don't know. I really don't know what that means. I've never used it. And then automatically record. Now, you can set it so that you automatically record your meeting if you wanted to. I've never done that, but you can. And then it gives a thing about if you wanted to designate someone else as a host, you could there, but you don't have to. And these options stay the same unless you change them. So you don't have to look at this anymore unless you want to change it. And then you come to a thing that says schedule. And so you space on the schedule. And then you tab over twice and it'll say copy invitation to clipboard. You really want to make sure you do that because that's how you're going to send this invitation out. So once you copy it to your clipboard, I'm going to alt-tab over to my email account. I'm going to go into that, and I'm going to go to my BCC field, blind carbon copy field, and I'm going to type in Brian's email address and Eric's and Chris's and Charles's, and then I'm going to send. Then I'm going to go over to the message, part of the message, and I'm going to copy the link, copy the invitation link into that message, and therefore that message, everybody that gets it will have the link that they need to join this meeting, and then I'll wait for my meeting to start. Whenever it will be. Now, when I get into my meeting, I can get in by using, I can send myself the same invitation I send them, and I can get in using the invitation link, or I can simply get back into my Zoom and go over to join meeting and then tab over to start and enter on that. Now, under security, if you get into your Zoom meeting, you're in there hosting, you have a thing that says security. And if you space on that, there's no shortcut key. By the way, when you're in your Zoom meeting, your tab key is your best friend. You can tab, 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 tab. It'll take you. But if you don't want to tab, there are some shortcut keys, and I'll talk about the few that we have. But to do the security, there is no shortcut key. You just have to tab over to where it says security. And if you space on that, here's what you're going to see. Allow people to rename themselves. As we saw in here, a few people did rename themselves. Somebody did. Then allow people to mute themselves. These are all things you can decide to do or not do. Lock meeting. So once you get the meeting started, you can lock it. However, if you lock it and somebody drops out of it, you got to unlock it again to let them back in. And so it could be a nightmare if you're trying to host a meeting. Enable waiting room if you wanted to do that. Allow screen sharing. And you can allow screen sharing just with the host or screen sharing with others. And then you can allow chats. I wish I had known this when I was teaching because, you know, I had these little ninth grade girls, and heck, they could have been chatting back and forth among themselves while I was teaching, saying, LeGates is an ugly dog. I don't know what they were saying about me. But if I had known, I would have said no chatting among participants, only to me or to each, you know, to me and each other. I don't think they cause any trouble, but you know how ninth grade girls can be. So you can choose what kind of chat you want. Now, another thing, Chris talked about the participants panel pretty much, and I'm not going to cover it too much. It's Alt-U is the shortcut key, and you can get in there and you can see all the participants. And if you tab twice past the participants, you will see different things you can do with the, whatever participants you are on, whatever name you are on. You can mute them, or you can unmute them, or you can make them a host, or you can remove them. You can mute all. You can do all kinds of things like that with your participants. I do want to talk a tiny bit more about screen sharing. That's Alt-S. This was really neat for me when I was teaching because I wanted to share my screen so I could type answers like kids. We were doing French. We were doing exercises, and I wanted to make sure they knew how to spell everything. So I would go to open screen sharing up, and I would say share screen. And then I would go over to my word processor, and I would open a blank document, and then I could type in there whatever my answers were, and I could make sure I typed in the correct answers. I could bring a document up if I wanted them to see a document. I could bring a whole document up and people could see it. My students could see that on the screen. I also could play, as Chris did, sounds, live recordings through there. So, for example, I played a tape of French so my students could hear this French and listen to that. So it worked out really well. The only thing about screen sharing sound, as Chris found out, you got to be careful that you discontinue it when you're finished, or they're going to hear your jaws the rest of the day, you know, when you're doing that. Now, I just want to touch on one more thing, and that's ending meetings. Alt-Q can do it, or Alt-F4 can do it, and what you're going to see is you're going to see a screen that says leave meeting. If you're the host and you leave the meeting, someone else is going to have to become the host. The meeting will not end. That might be important for you because let's say you get out of a meeting and someone else becomes a host, and then you get ready to do another meeting at some point. It's going to say your meeting isn't ended. You have to end the meeting that you're in before you can start another one. So it's really important to end your meetings the right way. And the right way is to go to end for all. Now, you have to be a little polite about this. I hosted a meeting for the chapter up here one night, and I was kind of in a hurry to get out of the meeting. So it said, end for all. So I pushed it, and it said goodbye to everyone and took them out. Some of them were talking about different things. It was kind of rude. I just took them right out of the meeting. So when you push that end for all meeting, it's goodbye to everyone. Everyone is put out. So you might want to be a little polite and listen to, you know, what people say. Oh, I did want to talk about recording, and then I am done. You can record in two ways, as we said earlier. Alt-R records to your computer. And what happens is when you push Alt-R, and there's also an Alt-P, which pauses, and you put Alt-R again, which will stop it, which will stop your recording. When you do that, it's going to say converting the recording, and it'll tell you where it goes. It goes in your documents file, and there's a file, there's a folder in there called Zoom. And if you go in there, it'll list all your meetings according to date. When you click on those meetings, when they do finally come up, it'll take a while for it to convert them. You have two files in there. One file is an M4A file, which is the audio file. That's the recording. If you just want to send a recording of the meeting, that's fine. There's also going to be an MP4 file, which is video, and that takes up a lot more room. So if you're going to send this as link, you might prefer just the recording, especially for us blind people who don't need the video. You can, you know, send them out as links. You can put them in your Dropbox, send them out as a Dropbox link. That's probably what most people do with those files. I also sometimes convert them to MP3 files simply because I like MP3 better. If you have something like, I use Sony Sound Studio to do that, but you've got all kind of conversion programs you can get. Now, if you choose to use the cloud recording, which is Alt-C, it works exactly the same way. And what it does, when you finish recording, it'll say, you will get an email with information about this recording. And you will get an email, and it'll give you a link to the recording, and it'll also, since you're the host, it'll give you a chance to download those same files. And you can just take that link that's in the email and send it out to anybody. The only thing I don't like about, I thought this was going to be great. I was really excited about the cloud recording. And by the way, you can only do cloud recording if you have a pro account. I was really excited about it, but then I got less excited because when you send these cloud links out, it gives you a password that you've got to send out with it. And that password is a humdinger. And I found sometimes I've had trouble accessing the recordings with those passwords. I had one a week or two ago I was trying to access. I never could get it to come up. Finally, I asked my students, and they said, oh, we got it to come up just fine. So I don't know if I was, and I copied it to my browser and did all that stuff. I don't know. Those passwords are weird. So personally, I'm going to kind of stay away from the cloud recording. The one thing also about the cloud recording is you can set it in your settings that you do online, the settings that are online. You can set that to delete your cloud recordings after 30 days, and it'll delete them. Okay, guys, I hope I covered this, and please feel free to ask me any questions you'd like to.
All right. Thank you, Gary. One thing I will add based on some private comments I've been getting is if you're the meeting host, two things to keep in mind. One is if you're going to set a password, make sure it's a numeric password as opposed to including alphabet characters, because if you put alphabet characters in your password, people who want to dial in are not going to be able to do that.
Yes.
Didn't you say your password for NFB is a word? What did you say that your password?
It's the digital version. It's the numeric version of NFBMD. So people will remember that.
63, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, so the other thing I would say is about co-hosts or alternate hosts in the system. When you select an alternate host, as Gary has said, it does make that person the default. So inadvertently, unbeknownst to me, I had made Karen Anderson the alternate host on 200 meetings I scheduled for the affiliate over a period of a couple of months. And finally, she said to me, why do you keep making me the co-host on these meetings that have nothing to do with my chapter? And I realized I had done her chapter meetings, and then not taken her out of the box. So you want to change that meeting by meeting.
Right. Also, that the co-host thing, I think you can only do if you have a pro account. Didn't we find that, Brian, up here? We tried that co-host and couldn't.
Yes.
And the other interesting thing about the alternate host is if you have a corporate account, like we have an enterprise license for the National Federation of the Blind that the Maryland affiliate is part of, I cannot assign anybody to be an alternate host who does not have an existing account with that enterprise license. So, for example, I cannot make Chris Nussbaum an alternate host when I first scheduled the meeting because he's not part of my enterprise. But I can make Anil Lewis or Pam Allen or somebody who's using the enterprise license.
So how did you do that today then? How did you make them?
I logged in when the meeting started and I assigned them co-host rights. You can do that when the meeting is ongoing, but you can't do it in advance.
Right. Real quick, Gary, before we get to some questions, maybe you touched on this. I apologize. I stepped out of the room. Did we hit on the new update that is effective July 19th?
Yes, I mentioned that, it's going to be either password or waiting room.
Either or.
You cannot do without the you got to have one or the other.
Yes. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank God they didn't make us use the waiting room.
Yeah.
There's one thing I did not cover, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know the answer to this, so maybe Ronza will. That is, what do you do? I don't know how to do it if you want to schedule in advance. Like if you want people to sign up for your meeting in advance. You know how sometimes you get an invitation that says, how do you schedule them? I don't know that.
So pro and enterprise licenses have that feature where you can send an invitation but require RSVP to receive the link.
Awesome.
How do you find that, though?
You have to enable it in your control panel online.
Okay, you got to do the online settings. In other words, can I say something about those online settings? And maybe Derek can talk about this, too. I found those online – there are some settings in Zoom that you can only do from online, and some of them are good settings. But I find it very difficult to tell whether they're toggled on or off in JAWS. Now, in the Mac, it's a little easier, I believe. But in JAWS, I find that rather difficult to use that – to do those settings.
At NVDA, it's fine. Once you find it, that website is a pain to navigate. It is a bad. Like that is, if I have one thing for Zoom to work on, it's their online website. Cause it is.
Quick story, Derek, and you can kind of jump in on this. When we were working on the co-hosting thing, after I had enabled the co-hosting ability for our chapter meetings, I went back and disabled it so that I could walk Derek through how to do it. And he had a very difficult time even getting into the settings menu through the web client. So to his point, they really do need to address that part.
That was like right after an update and they messed a lot of stuff up.
Right.
It was bad.
My experience is this, that the June 1st update really did resolve some of those issues, but it created some other issues.
Sounds like typical firmware.
That's right. So what the June 1st update did is it broke the website accessibility to a certain extent. There are workarounds, but it enhanced the desktop client. So I haven't seen anything you can do on the internet website version that you can't currently as of June 1st do using the desktop client. So I recommend people use the Windows desktop client in particular. I don't know about the Mac one. I do have the iPad client. I do have the iPhone client, so it's like stripped down. So imagine the desktop client is the best. The iPad client is next best, and then the iOS app is very good, but it doesn't have all of the features that the desktop client.
Ronza, if I can add something to what you're saying, also, when we had done that specific item, Derek and I, one of the things that I experimented with and found to be very easy and intuitive was when I went back, because it is a web client based setting in order to change that. So after he was unable to do it, I just figured, well, why don't I try this? I pulled it up through my iPad and Safari and I had no issue whatsoever going in and changing it. So the web client is accessible through the phone or the tablet as well if you want it.
There are also some settings that cannot be changed even now in the new and improved client. Sorry about that noise. Some of the more advanced, like for instance, breakout rooms cannot be turned on through the client. You have to do that online. But correct. Actually, there's this guy who lives in I think Arizona. He made this little, it's a command line tool, and if you run it, you can change settings. Like you log into your Zoom account, and you can change online settings through it. But that's more for advanced users. If you want it, just look up. I think it's called like Zoom Modifier. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it's kind of useful if you know how to use the command line.
Okay, so we've got some other questions.
Yep.
I do want to remind folks that we will be putting up this recording as well as some resources. We will hopefully link it to the McCarroll Center resource that Gary mentioned. There's also a book by Jonathan Mosen called Meet Me in the Cloud that he's made available for free for folks. So we will link to that website as well. So first up, we have Scott. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Scott. And Scott is on an iPhone.
Scott, you're unmuted. I think you're unmuted.
He's not. He has to accept the request to unmute.
Oh, okay. That's new. Okay.
So,
can you all hear me?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. I've, on the iOS app on the iPhone, I've been having an issue where when I have it on speakerphone, it cuts to the regular earpiece. And then I have to switch apps to the phone and turn back on the speaker.
How do you have your speakerphone set up? Do you have it set up to manually swap it, or do you just leave the default automatic swap between the earpiece and the speakerphone?
Well, I didn't know there was a setting for that.
Yeah, there is.
It might be your
phone
sensor triggering. It'll detect objects in front of your phone, like your hand or your face.
Yes. Yes.
And it will flip to your ear. It's so if you're on a phone call, you don't get like deafened by someone screaming in your ear when it's on speaker and you have your phone against your head. But it may be inadvertently flipping it to the earpiece. You can go into settings, and there's a setting in there to change that. I think it's an accessibility. Right.
I'm glad you said that, Derek, because what it'll do, especially if you're holding the phone or if you pick it up to move it or something like that, if you put your hand anywhere near the top of the phone where the earpiece is located, that audio reverberation will automatically trigger the earpiece, and it will jump back and forth between the earpiece and the speakerphone.
Okay. So it's set settings under accessibility, you think?
Yeah.
To switch it to the manual switch?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Yes, it is under the accessibility options. I think it's phone. It's under like phone or speakerphone. I think it's audio options, and then there's a section for speakerphone, and it's default automatic. You can switch it to manual. Now be aware that if it's manual, when you go into the keypad, there's a section that has like more options. You have to bring that menu up in order to switch it back and forth. So there's a couple of extra little steps that come with it when you switch to that. But yeah, it should keep it in one place when you set it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
We've got lots of other questions, but one key thing that if you're using the desktop client and you want a list of shortcuts, keyboard commands, you can hit on settings, which is where your name is, and then you can tab over to settings and then hit enter and go down, and one of the things in that drop down in that list is called keyboard shortcuts, and it'll give you a table of all of the different keyboard shortcuts using the desktop client. And you can also make them system settings. So for example, I have Alt A, which is the mute myself or unmute myself, is a system setting. So even if I'm not live in the Zoom client, let's say I'm in a Word document, I can hit Control A and it'll mute myself or unmute myself. And you could pick which ones you want.
And where is that?
That is in the desktop client. Hit enter on your name, tab over once, go down to settings, tab over once, and pick keyboard commands.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Jamari.
Brian, we do have a list, that big long list of keyboard commands that I sent out. We ought to send that to Ronza so she can include that somewhere if she wanted.
Yes, we can send the resources that we have available, as well as, like I said, anybody that would have questions that need to be more directly addressed, we are available for that as well. So, absolutely.
Great. Thank you. Jamari, did you have a question? Jamari?
You just unmuted me.
Oh, you know what? I think I mislabeled you. So is that Sharia?
It's Sharia.
Okay, Sharia. Ah. I switched you to Jamari. So go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. I guess you so my question is, when hosting a meeting, what was the first thing you said? Because it went so fast, I missed it.
Oh, I apologize. You mean how to get into the meeting? You mean how to start hosting? Like how to schedule?
Yeah.
You're going to go into the Zoom app by putting your start menu and Z and enter, if you're on the computer, that is. And then you're going to, you have several tabs. You have home or meetings tab. I would say use the meetings tab. So arrow okay. down to where it says meetings, then start tabbing mm-hmm. over and you'll see it'll say schedule meeting. And when okay. you push the space bar on schedule meeting, you get that menu that says Google Outlook or schedule meeting. If you don't do anything, mm-hmm. simply push your space mm-hmm. bar again, and then you get into okay. topic, and that's where you type your meeting topic.
Okay, I have the rest of it.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. Yeah, I have the rest of it. Avoid
becoming defensive. Yes, indeed. Sorry, I went
so fast. Thank you so much. No, you're fine. Okay, I just want to mute myself.
Okay, somebody somebody else is having a conversation somewhere or something.
Yeah.
If you are watching like a YouTube video or something in the background. Environment where you have
supervisors. Chris, why don't you ask me to
find that person?
Yeah, but then it's easier to go outside of the organization if you
are within that. Well, we can unmute ourselves.
If nothing changes about
apparently, I can't do that.
There you go. Easy peasy.
Now, what I don't get is why it mutes Ronza and all the co-hosts too.
I don't know why it mutes Ronza. It's not supposed to do that. Because it's higher than us in the command line.
Right.
I even have
one thing I have not understood about host. There is one thing I have not understood about hosting, and I talked about this the last time. Supposedly, and in the book it says this too, people that are talking or people that are raising hands come up to the top of the list, and the rest of the list is in alphabetical order. I have not seen that in my experience.
Me neither.
We didn't see it.
Well, guys, just real quick, just remember one thing, that the one of the more recent updates did, at least on the iOS or the application, did separate the persons with raised hands from the main participants list. So I recall that was what it did. So perhaps that particular aspect of the book is outdated, Gary, is what I'm saying. I'm guessing it does the same thing on the web client.
And supposedly people that talk, like supposedly people making noise or talking come to the top of this, but I have not seen that.
They do if you're using the desktop client.
Okay.
And the desktop client alphabetical is broken by type of device. So right. you'll have your desktop client, and then you'll have your iOS devices, and then you'll have your landline phones. And so you start alphabetically over and over again. Unfortunately, whoever muted everybody
okay, that's
also
what it is, then.
Accidentally lowered everybody's hand.
I see him still. Okay, so
I got four raised hands, Ron.
Yeah.
So they're you know, maybe that's a glitch too on this one. But I do see okay. Lloyd Rasmussen.
Yep.
Okay, Lloyd, you're unmuted.
Lloyd has to accept the unmute request because he's using a device.
And I'm also lowering his hand.
Alrighty.
Okay, wait, does that work? I think so.
Yep,
it does, yes.
Yeah, all right. I've had trouble just getting my account set up. I think I made too many mistakes trying to set it up on the iPhone. And I ended up the last time I did this with four different email addresses that might be account I wanted to set up. That was one issue. This has been helpful. I'm trying to learn how to do this because I think that I might need to do a Sligo meeting or something sooner or later. How much of this do you have to have an account for in order to, not a pro account, but just an account at all, signed in order to do this kind of hosting stuff that we've been talking about?
You want to host, you have to have an account.
40 minutes.
Yeah, the 40 minute time.
Okay, so let me try to answer that. If you are setting up the meeting, then yes, you do. But if I set up the meeting on the enterprise account and
designate
you do not,
me as a co-host, yeah.
I can designate you as a co-host even if you don't have a pro account once the meeting starts.
Right. Okay, the other thing I was going to say about the muting and the all the background echo all the time, yeah, it's, if you're going to be doing moderating of a meeting, it's really good to use a speaker headphone set. That's what I'm using here right now.
Yes.
If it's going to come back through the speaker, people will hear it, even though it's kind of a background and they don't know quite what it is. I guess that's all I have to say right now.
Even if you have two devices, if my wife has her phone and I have my headphones on, sometimes her phone, the sound of it will echo through my headphone microphone and echo. So if you have two people in the same house using it, spread out. I mean,
these things are quite sensitive. Very sensitive.
It is. Okay, thank you, Lloyd.
Can you see the raised hands now again?
I can.
Do you want,
okay, I see them. Okay, we're going to do a phone number. 0321. You are unmuted, 0321.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, it's Valencia. I'm calling from the landline, shocker.
Hi.
My question pertains to hosting. I was unclear about, I believe it's in the update that hasn't been out and will be issued out on July 19th, but I was unclear as to what exactly the waiting room, I guess, option does for meeting.
If they have the waiting room set up, when you go into the meeting, instead of going right into the meeting, you're put into a waiting room, and then you stay there until the host either brings everyone in at one time or just brings individuals in at one time. So you'll be sitting there, and it'll say your meeting will start shortly, and then all of a sudden, the meeting will start.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then I just had a suggestion for when you're doing demonstrations for the desktop or PC, because sometimes I heard the wrong letter when you were doing the key commands, and if you could just say it phonetically, like, for instance, Alt-V was for video, and I heard Z as in zebra, if you could just say Alt-V as in video, that would be helpful for people listening.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that, Valencia.
That's a good point, though.
So one keyboard command, if you are hosting the meeting to mute everybody, is Alt-M, as in Mary, and that shuts everyone up. I love that command.
That's another good point to make. There's also a command in that security section where you can check it that when you mute people, they can't unmute themselves.
Right.
And that might be good if you're doing a presentation, but don't forget to uncheck it when it comes time for question and answer. I was in a meeting once where somebody had checked that and forgot how to uncheck it, and they didn't know what in the world they were going to do for a while. Until,
you know. Okay, so Annette, I've asked you to unmute. You have to accept the request.
Hello. This is Annette from the Capital Chapter of the NFB of Ohio. Thank you for doing this. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more. I'm very technologically unadvanced. How do you go about putting things into the calendar, like the links into the calendar? So especially with convention coming up, they'll probably send out an agenda and a big email or something. How do you put those links in the calendar so you can just go right to your calendar on your iOS device and be able to bring those up and go right into the meeting?
Chris, do you want to take that one?
Yeah. I was just going to take it.
Go for
The easiest way to do it, if somebody doesn't already send you a calendar invitation, is to do what Ronza suggested earlier, and that is to take that link, copy it, so select it and copy it, and then go into your calendar, make an event, and in your location field, you just paste that link in there.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you also put it in your, if you put it, you can also put it in the body of your email, but then you'll have to sort of thumb down, you know, change it to read by line and then thumb down to the link. One really cool thing about Zoom is if you have your calendar on your iPhone, you have appointments with the Zoom link, you can actually set up Siri to, it's a setting in the Zoom account to say, let's, you know, have Siri open meetings, open Zoom meetings and Zoom appointments. And then you'll just tell Siri, open my next appointment or what is my next Zoom appointment? Oh. And she'll tell you. And it's a really cool way of doing it.
You can do that from the Zoom app.
You can do it from your home screen on your iPhone if you've got an iPhone.
Oh, okay.
So the first thing you do is you have to set your settings in Zoom. You have to go in and you have to enable Siri. If you're using the iOS or the iPad app, and it'll ask you to say certain things, like, so it has a recording of what it sounds like for you to open, because you could ask Siri in theory to open a Zoom appointment 17 different ways. So it wants to be sure it knows what you want. And it'll tell you what to say, or you can customize what you want to say. Like, I have a Monday morning meeting that is with my all of my staff dread. So I've called it the Monday morning dumb meeting. And so I tell Siri, open, you know, launch my Monday morning dumb meeting, and she does.
Hey, well, I will definitely play with that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Tyron. We've asked you to unmute.
You're unmuted.
Nope, he's an ask.
Well, okay, he's been asked. Okay, there we go.
All right, so I have a question about the recurring meeting. So, could say, for instance, with the link that you send out that gets emailed out to everybody, could is there a way to set it to send the link out multiple times, like each time the meeting's going to happen, or does the person have to send it out each time?
Chris? I'm glad you asked that, because I was going to make that clarification anyway. So the way, at least it's the only way I found to do it, is you can add it to your calendar when you set a Zoom meeting. Tell it, what is that switch button called? There's something about calendar, and you add it to your calendar, and then when you go into the calendar event, then you can set it to be a recurring meeting, and then you click on invitees and put in whoever's email address you want to invite. And once the calendar knows that it's a recurring meeting, then it'll send the calendar event every time. So, for example, my college advisor would meet with me during this program, this online schooling time. She would meet with me every Thursday morning at 9. So she sent me a calendar invitation for that Zoom meeting. And she set it to be a recurring meeting. So once I accepted it, then every 8:50 or 8:45, whatever she set it to, my calendar would give me an alert that said, meeting with Dr. Todd in 15 minutes. I would go into that calendar event, the Zoom link would be right there, and I just click on it and I'm in there again.
Oh, okay.
So another way of doing this, which is fast, is to download the Outlook plugin for Zoom. Install it, and then every time you schedule an appointment in your calendar, you schedule a calendar appointment, you can actually just hit enter on the Zoom, the little Zoom button. It's Alt H, I think maybe Z. But if not, then it's Alt H and then down arrow and then right until you find Zoom once that plugin is installed. And it'll actually embed the call-in information for Zoom into that calendar appointment. So just like our Wednesday night meetings, our Wednesday affiliate meetings are recurring meetings. And I only scheduled them once. And so I set out a calendar appointment. So anybody who accepted the calendar appointment just shows up, like Chris said, as a reminder, but I don't have to do it every single time. I don't have to use the desktop or the app at all for Zoom because Outlook pulls the data I need and then pushes it back out to Zoom.
So I actually have a question, this is Chris. I actually have a question for Gary or Ronza, any of the experienced Zoom hosters. So I guess I'm unclear on what co-hosts can do and what co-hosts can't do that hosts can do. And my big question is changing meeting settings. So for example, earlier in the workshop when we had a bunch of people unmute or when we had a bunch of background noise going on and we had a bunch of people joining the meeting, I wanted to change the meeting settings to check the box that said mute participants on entry. And I did that. The control showed up. I did that, but it didn't take effect when people joined. Or similarly, when I hit Alt-M to mute everybody, it even muted the host and the other co-hosts. So I'm wondering what the line is between what a host can do and what a co-host can do.
So I can answer that if Gary doesn't mind. So the host is never mute, is never muted or anything along those lines. The reason why it looked like I was is because I'm logged in using two devices. I'm controlling the meeting, and I'm doing that using my desktop client, but I'm not logged in from an audio perspective. I did not connect my audio. So I'm using the iPhone for my audio because it's the fastest sort of way for me to communicate myself in and out, but I want to control the meeting using the desktop client because I have more ready access, easier to chat and to mute and unmute people and other kinds of controls. But the co-hosts, there can be a background setting so that co-hosts are not unmuted or muted when the system does it. So, but this is an enterprise, because we're on an enterprise license, this is an enterprise setting. So if John Bergeron changes it for the entire National Federation of the Blind enterprise, then we are at that mercy of that change, which is what happened. It used to be that the co-hosts were not muted and unmuted, but now there's an enterprise change. Because when I go try to change the setting, it doesn't let me. It says it's an enterprise setting. I don't have permission to do. So that changes depending on who wants to set it up. The other things that a host can do that a co-host can't do is I can reclaim co-host privileges. I can take it back. So for example, right. I can decide I'm irritated with Chris. I don't like his answers and I don't want him to be the one to co-host anymore. So as the host, I can take that back. I can also decide, you always have to have a host. You can't just have a bunch of co-hosts in the meeting. So you have to, I decide as the host when I leave who I want to take over as the host. I have to assign that privilege. And that's true for the big corporate licenses. It's not true for just regular professional accounts, but it's true for like the big licenses. I can reclaim as the host, as a co-host, I cannot take away, Chris was using screen share. As a co-host of his, I cannot take it away, but as the host, I absolutely can. I can usurp his authority as a co-host in whatever way I want. The last thing is, as a host, I can mute everybody and only allow them to unmute by my permission, right. As opposed to intentionally, individually, people muting or unmuting themselves. The other thing I can do as a host that I can't do as a co-host, so like
Brian was on video, and I turned off his video at one point because I wanted to see what would happen. So basically, as the host, you can manipulate other people's settings. As the co-host, you can sort of run, share information. You can rename people. You can mute and unmute them, but you can't like override their own settings.
Okay.
Derek.
Mm-hmm.
I just love what Zoom says when you take back someone's co-host. Your co-host privileges have been revoked by the host.
Revoked by the host.
It makes it sound like you committed some kind of crime or something. It's, I know. Weird.
Okay, so I'm just trying to see if we have any other questions.
I think we got time for a couple more.
I'm not seeing any. I want to just check the chat.
Nothing on the hand raise.
Yeah, I don't see anything either.
Oh, Sharia?
No, Sharia. Not to be outdone.
That's right.
Where is she?
I got her. See.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi,
Sharia. So I just have two questions. Hello, you guys did an amazing job because it truly helped me. I'm in Zoom meetings all the time, and had no idea what I was doing. So good to know. with the OneTap Mobile, if you press that button, would it automatically link you into the meeting without having to input the password?
Yes, that's the purpose of the OneTap Mobile. All right, Brian. Yeah,
so the OneTap Mobile, basically what it does is it basically combines the three major sections of meeting entry, which is the phone number, the meeting ID number, and the passcode. It basically just clumps them all together and automatically dials into it for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good.
That's why it's such a cool. That's why it's such a cool thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Must know for us.
And then my last question is, when you are sending out the invitations for hosting the meeting, are you able to copy them and send them to different groups like Messenger or emails versus putting them in a calendar?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay.
You can copy the link to in whatever method you want.
I was going to say, almost any way that you can communicate, you can send a text message, emails, whatever. Doesn't matter. There's a way to do it, pretty much anything.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thanks, Sharia. Get one more?
All right. Barbie?
Yes.
There she is.
Hello, everybody. Hey, my name is Barbie King. I'm from Montgomery County. And my question is, when there's a high volume of people on the Zoom, say for instance, general session, and you're trying to log in to the Zoom number or something, it can kick you out, or it'll say there's too many people in there.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. So then it'll keep kicking you out, and sometimes you can get back in, and then sometimes you can't. I found that if you try to get on early.
Are you losing her?
She's her bandwidth is a little slow.
Okay.
Chris.
You're right, Barbie. There is a maximum number of participants. Some accounts have 100, some accounts have 50. Most of us who are associated with the National Federation of the Blind Zoom corporate account have 300, but the National Federation of the Blind's convention account, I think it's 100,000. And so,
100? We have enough.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be okay, but you're right. If you want to get in, if you want to make sure there's a spot, then you want to get in early, because we all know from the first presidential release that happened live, we were not, many of us, there was about 700 of us that couldn't get in until about 20 minutes in. So the last thing I would say, I think, is just be patient. We're all learning Zoom. We're all learning these sort of web and communications tools that are dynamic, but they change every day, right? Things get better, things get worse. We get better at it, we get worse at it every day.
So just be patient. Trial and error is fine. And then if you really get stuck, we've got some experts here in Maryland that are certainly able and willing to help you. Chris, I believe, was going to enter into the chat people's email addresses, but I'm going to ask people who the panel to share their email addresses and phone numbers if they're willing, so that people can contact them directly to ask any questions or get
Absolutely. Do you want us to just do that separately, or do we just want to pull from those that aren't in the database?
No, if you guys just wanted to share now, go ahead.
All right, guys. Chris, you want to start?
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to type this into the chat.
Why don't you speak yours while you type?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So it's CNUS. So it's, let me do it. Let me use Valencia's great suggestion. So C as in cat, N as in Nancy, U, S as in Sam, B as in boy, A, U, M as in Mary, and then NFB for National Federation of the Blind, at gmail.com. Phone is 443-547-2409. I promise I have my number memorized. I just can't type. There we go. And here's the chat.
Derek?
Okay, so my email is B as in Bravo, R as in Robert, L as in Lima, K as in Kilogram, I as in India, D as in Dog, at Outlook.com. And my phone number is 443-510-6567.
BRLKID at Outlook.com?
Correct.
Yes, Derek? Okay.
He already put it in the chat.
All right. It's in the chat as two separate chats.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Gary?
All right.
Phone number is 410-848-1636. And I've chatted it. It's in the chat. My email is gary.legates@comcast.net.
Can you spell Legates, please?
L-E-G-A-T-E-S. L-E-G-A-T-E-S.
Okay. That's Gary dot Legates, L-E-G as in George, A-T as in Tom, E-S as in Sam, at Comcast.net, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. We're just doing the phonetic.
By the way, that reminds me of something. When you do the recordings, one of the things that will be in your recordings file is the chats. All the chats are in there that get done.
And private chats are logged. So don't think that if you make a private chat that no one can see it, because if you look in the log, it will say, like, from Chris Neuspahn to Brian Kessling, Derek smells. You still see it.
Yeah, it will. That's right.
So. I think he called us, Chris.
I think he did. He called us out. And I'll go ahead and send an email out to the NFB Maryland list with those email addresses as a follow-up to this workshop.
So let's get Brian.
Okay. So my phone number is 410-855-5605. And my email address is BK, my initials, Maverick, M-A, V as in Victor, E-R-I-C-K, at gmail.com, and I have also posted this through the chat.
Oh, I didn't see. Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay.
So with that, I really want to thank everybody. At one point, we had about 70 people who were on this call throughout from everywhere from California, and they were up early for this.
Yeah,
to Ohio, to Florida. We had a couple of affiliate presidents. Thank you, Pam Allen from Louisiana, and of course, a bunch of Marylanders. We are very appreciative that you joined us And please do visit our website, nfbmd.org. It will be down for maintenance on Monday during the day as we upgrade our server. But beyond that, that should be fixed, and you can hopefully you'll be able to find these resources. Also, feel free to reach out to the crew, to Derek or Chris or Gary or Brian, and any one of them would be happy to assist you. We ask you to visit our website, nfbmd.org, to see other activities that we are going to be hosting in the coming weeks and months. We will continue some of these web series even as Maryland begins to reopen and we resume some in-person meetings. Thanks again, and happy convention.